Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Busy week, man. There's a lot of stuff going on. Just more classified documents coming out of Biden's everywhere. the progress made on the Seth Rich Freedom of Information Act request. And of course, the good news report will be at 4 o'clock. So excuse me while I get set up. I think Elizabeth should be with us in a second. Let's see. Okay, there we go. So while we wait for Elizabeth, there she is. I was going to play a clip, but she's here now. So, and there she is. Hello, hello. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, baby. How are you? The day has just slipped away from me, but here I am making popcorn. I'm not ready. I'm in my preparation mode. But
no.
How are
no
you?
Problem. Pretty good. Like I was saying earlier, just a busy week for stuff coming out. Okay, so Jimmy's finally back from vacation. So he's got a couple. Jimmy Dore.
Well, thank God. Thank God. Because I'm a little funkadelic. I'm not feeling well. And I thought, God, I hope you have some videos. Play lots and lots of videos. Even though I'd rather talk. Today I'd rather just rest because I'm fighting this deadly cold that wants me to lay on the couch, which is terrible. But that was fantastic. How's the weather?
I got it a little bit. I think I got a little touch of something, but like, you know, it was so mild. It just was like I was lethargic. That was basically. Oh, and I had a couple headaches, but those were like basically the only symptoms that I had. So.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
I think if you think about like what we're experiencing, these are all a little bit of the military bioweapons. It's just enough to debilitate the enemy so that you can win the war. That's what I'm thinking. Because it is all just it doesn't run like a virus. It's not like it's almost demonic. It really is. I had this horrible attack and I thought, oh my God, it's either demons or it's 5G. They're killing me right now. And it
Maybe
only
it's
happened
both.
At night.
That was Ty's theory.
Well, I cleared the house of the demons. I cast all of my good energy back, all my ancestors. My mom, her voice came to me, take a shower. I was like, yes, I'll take a shower. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm having these panic attacks, can't breathe. It's like, oh, it was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah,
my friend, who's it was ice, but it didn't happen again. You know, tell me, or it didn't last. You know, it's like a switch, turn it on, turn it off. And I was like, oh my God. My friend who is Hispanic and they have much more of a seriousness about this than we do because they are dying and getting sick and dying from this, as are the black people. She still has people who will not leave the house because of this. And they have just funerals upon funerals. And I talked to this one guy who was painting. He's like, well, I tell you what, I know 4 people that died just this week, and it's real. And I was like, but it's never hit me. I had this thing happen, and she's telling me that's how it goes. She goes, it's COVID, or what they call COVID, because it's more of a psychological thing. She said, you can't, that's why people go to the hospital. They can't breathe, but it's kind of all in their head with chest pains and stuff. And when she told me that, I was like, oh, I can deal with this. Because it's almost, I was like, it was almost like a bad trip. You got to talk yourself down and start, you know, walking around. I just went outside and walked around, but I'm like, I'm not going outside at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting, you know, run over by a wolf or whatever the hell. Wild kingdom here. But it was wild, and I'm like, oh, this is very interesting. Because when she told me it was kind of psychological, I thought, now this is some diabolical bullshit. And this goes back to how many toys do they have? They have all kinds of toys. I know somebody who's working on a government project, and he said, quote, unquote, I can't believe the government would do this to people. Because that he said, this is the last contract I'm doing. He's a private contractor, and he works with electro. He helped to get the carp out of the rivers, this electromagnetic zapping shit that he was doing. I'm like, oh, I said, I don't even need to know. I know what the government's doing. I said, that onion, just peel that onion back, and it's diabolical, isn't it? And he
it totally is. And that's another thing that – so Tucker did a segment this this week, and I think I'll probably start with the Jimmy Dore, but Tucker did a segment this week about – well, at first it's about Biden's classified documents, but basically like, okay, this is – so this is what they're going to bring him down with is these classified documents when he's done all of these other things and like – I kind of was like a little bit like, nah, you know what, I'm not really, because he was talking a lot about the border crisis and the fentanyl crisis, and yes, those are important things, but I'm not, you know, but then at the end is when he starts talking about Nixon outing that the CIA took out JFK. It was like, whoa, like, and so I've got that video, that clip, and I wish I could just do the end of it, but it's like a 14-minute segment.
It's well worth it. People will love it. Now, here's a bit of a trivia, little trivia minutia. I'm watching my Roosevelt documentary over and over and over again because I have nothing else. But I have something in the mail is coming to me so I can watch something different. But during the war effort to get us to stop being isolationists and to help Europe fight Hitler, they had several programs, and they got Lindbergh on board, and Lillian Gish, you know, the celebrities of the day, and also Yale Ivy Leaguers, such as Gerald Ford and Robert Kennedy. And I'm like, wait a minute, how fucking old are both? I didn't know there was that much of a similarity in age between Gerald Ford and Kennedy, but look how closely they are always being together. You know, Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission.
Yeah.
You know, and yet they were.
Abby, you're like ruining it. Spoiler alert.
I'll stop it. I won't say no more. But I will say this, that I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And I don't know what the definition of is, but there is no there. I was like, oh, my God, brought you from the men who brought us. What's the definition of is? The worst lie in the world. When I heard, did you hear Biden? There is no there.
Oh God. No, I didn't see it. But
well, that's what you're gonna find. I don't know what the context of that was, but I did catch that on the radio news, and it made me laugh. No, there is no is there. So whoever, you know, was coaching and orchestrating Clinton's downfall and surfing extravaganza in between his impeachment trial and scandal is the same people that are scripting this little clown show that we're seeing with Biden and the documents. So I'm I was tickled.
And nobody, so and people really like don't see it, you know? It's kind of nuts.
Well, how could they when they're focusing? I looked at what the news is going to be or should be. I should have some topics, be known, you know, to know what's going on and be in the loop. Well, this is pathetic, whatever your news is. You get off your phone, and if you don't have TV and cable, and I'm reliant upon the radio. I don't know how many people listen to the news on the radio. But they're captivated by the NFL. There's some sort of tragedy that happened. I'm like, I don't even want to know. And, you know, the same, it's just not even, the National Enquirer, when I was a kid, is more interesting and mind-building, almost like an encyclopedia compared to what the Flipboard on the phone is for news. So, you know, it's of no surprise that people simply can't keep up or won't keep up because their mind is being stupefied with
It's Idiocracy. You've seen Idiocracy, right?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Elizabeth, you need to see Idiocracy. It's basically a documentary at this point, but you have to see it, okay? I don't know, somehow, some way, I will get you a copy of that.
Is it a Netflix thing?
I don't know.
Or not.
I'll look it up. I'll look up where to find it.
I'll work on that. That's on my list of things to do.
It's like required watching for this, you know, for this show. I think for the audience of this show also, it's required. I'm sorry. You have to see that. Anyway, so mom's here. I'm going to let her in.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing? Hi.
Hey
Carla.
Good. You sound
good. I meant to ask both of you, is my microphone still good? They redid my settings. Is it still good?
You sound great. Really good.
Okay, I've got a dishwasher going in the background, too, so nobody can hear any of that?
Can't tell.
Okay, love this microphone.
Good.
Awesome. J-Labs is the microphone I'm using. I'm not a paid sponsor yet. But
well, let's give them a plug.
Yeah.
Because maybe we can all get one.
Yep, J-Labs. Anyway, hi, Mom. Did you want to jump in on this conversation?
No, not yet. I'm going to just be peaceful. I'm having computer stress because I can't use my laptop at all because I turned off the mouse pad, and so I don't know how to turn it back on.
I don't know that anymore.
Unplug that dongle or whatever that is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My sister would get into my house and touch things, and she would break them because she's like readjusted, and I couldn't get things to work. So I was like, "Don't fucking touch nothing in the house."
Yeah. Don't touch my stuff. Seriously, I don't know how to. And it's not even fixed. It's just she goes, "What?"
I go, "Now I can't make my toast. What the fuck?" Don't touch it.
That's so funny.
The computer. Really
this computer is kind of new to me. I did that with my kids too when it was going through its first like update. It took such a long time, and the kids came down for dinner and stuff, and I'm like, don't even look at it. Don't look at it.
I know.
Don't touch it. Don't unplug it. Don't breathe on it.
No shit. She cleaned. She wiped off and cleaned my toaster oven, and magically all of the numbers and the letters. For the nouns, they're gone. They wiped off with. I was like, "The fuck now? Now I don't know how to use this. I don't know where."
This is what you do. This is what you do, Elizabeth. Go on to the website of the manufacturer. Like, look up that model of a toaster oven that you have, and then go into pictures on Google and find a picture of it. And then you can blow up the dials and just tape it to your toaster oven. You'll be good.
We just recklessly try to not set the house on fire anymore and try to not be an evil person because I was like, you know, I lose a gasket when shit like that happens. That's like not the big deal.
It's distressing. It's distressing.
I can't see and I can't. I wanted some fucking toast, for God's sakes. But, you know.
You could just get a toaster.
And, you know, no, they have to give me these. Because I don't own a microwave. I live in the 1900s. And I was just thinking to myself, I need servants and a staff. Because this is no good, having to do all this myself. But I don't even have a microwave. And, therefore, they thought they were doing something really cool by giving me a toaster oven. Which... I'm like, how do you work it? There's too many knobs, too many choices. It's like, you should be able to just push it. Push it, plug it in, push it, and it works. And there's just too much. So it was a gift. I do. I do need a toaster. I need a bigger house. Like I said, I need a castle on the hill with the staff. But in the meantime, we struggle. I heard this really cool thing before I got on. It's from the Epoch Times, and it was the full translated, read message of the Falun Gong leader that he put out for the Lunar New Year. And in a nutshell, he's telling humanity where we came from, why we're here, whatever it is. We were sent here in the worst conditions of the universe. This is the hardest place to be, and to endure the stresses and the challenges and the pressures in order to work out your karma and to ascend back up into heaven. And the more challenges and the harder your life is, the more opportunities you have to make it through with style and grace and being a beautiful human being and not turning inward and becoming an even more of an asshole. And I thought, oh, wow, now I'm going to be a nice person. I was like, I have so much work to do because this is so hard. But all of these things that, like, irritate you, and I don't even have, like, a hard life, but they're, I perceive them to be these hard things. Because I have, like, probably the patience of a 3-year-old, apparently, is how that goes, to get that upset over little things. But I think the more you can overcome whatever situation you're in and just do, like, what we all kind of want to do, which is to give purpose and an outlet of a good light down at the end of the tunnel, and to be nice to each other. Planting tomatoes on the side of the road, because here, free. I made them for you. Please, have some. And
exactly.
You know, being the light in this cave of destitute and craziness, too. It's kind of like, duck your head, don't touch this. Walk this way, you could hurt. Just be a nice person. Then you will have achieved the reason that you were sent here, or the reason that you're actually here, and be able to make it out of here and make it up to the next cool place instead of coming back. And
level up.
Exactly. So I believe that, you know, the toaster oven is part of my karmatic debt that I have to pay. I'm teasing. Learn how to use new technology. That's my...
Yeah.
Everyone should have such problems there. All right. Segue back into... What,
okay,
what is your itinerary?
I want to start with Jimmy Dore. We briefly touched on this last week with the media finally talking about overcounting of COVID deaths, right? And it's funny, I say this quite often to my husband, but like when I see something on Tucker Carlson or when I see something on Jimmy Dore, it's something like, I always say to him, like, I think he must follow me because I talk about this stuff. And then within a very short period of time, you know, the stuff that I've put out there, these people start to talk about. And so the overcounting, Jimmy Dore, do you remember, like, I think it was probably close to one of your first shows, Elizabeth, but Jimmy Dore, but we were talking about the, listening to the public director of public health for the state of Illinois, remember? And, and her saying, talking about COVID deaths and of and with, and I was showing this video because it's a public, you know, official. Anyway, so Jimmy Dore has finally gotten around to covering this story, and I'd like to start with that if everybody is okay with that.
I think it's apropos. We need it.
Awesome. Okay, here we go.
That sounds good. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Really? Okay. 3, 2, 1.
So you remember how they count COVID? They overcounted COVID because this is how they counted COVID. Are you ready for this? This is a health. I think this was the senior health advisor in Illinois.
I just want to be clear in terms of the definition of people dying of COVID. So the case definition is very simplistic. It means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. So that means that if you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if technically, even if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. I hope that's helpful.
Wasn't expecting that.
So watch this. So that Lena Wen, she's that CNN Washington Post doctor that has been, she was a crazy COVIDian, but now she's coming around. She's dumber than a pothead comedian, and she's a doctor. Birx and Fauci reject Fox News promoted theory that coronavirus deaths are inflated. That's one headline. Here's the next headline.
That's from April 2020.
That's right. Opinion, we are overcounting COVID deaths and hospitalizations, and that's a problem. That's January 13th, 2023. So the Washington Post said that, oh, it's that theory, no, we reject it. It's a Fox News theory. You see how they put it? It's a Fox News theory. It's Fox News theory. You mean it didn't come from the Department of Health in Illinois? It came from Fox News? That's how they report stories to split the country. So here's the new opinion. Here it is, and it's by Lena Wen. Here we go. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the United States is experiencing around 400 COVID deaths every day. At that rate, there would nearly be 150,000 deaths a year. But are these Americans dying from COVID or with COVID? Now, they're just getting around to asking this in the Washington Post in 2023, something we've been asking since at least the summer of 2021. At least. It's good to see the Washington Post about a year and a half behind a jagoff comedian. Wen also cited infectious disease physician Shira Doran, who figured out that in recent months, only about 30% of total hospitalizations with COVID were primarily attributed to the virus in Massachusetts hospitals, for example. Wen recounted Doran's experience at Tufts Medical Center, writing, during some days, she said, the proportion of those hospitalized because of COVID were as low as 10% of the total number reported who had COVID. So, way over-reporting. Mentioning the first, she wrote, Robin Drettler, an attending physician at Emory Decatur Hospital and the former president of Georgia's chapter of Infectious Disease Society of America, estimates that at his hospital, 90% of patients diagnosed with COVID are actually in the hospital for some other illness. That's like by a factor of 9, right? Like 9, that's like to the 9th power. They're overestimating the death. I'm not a math surgeon, so don't quote me on the 9th power thing. Drettler told the analyst, since every hospitalized patient gets tested for COVID, many are incidentally positive. Wen noted how people with gunshot wounds or other serious illnesses often test positive for the virus and wrote, if these patients die, COVID might get added to their death certificate along with the other diagnoses. But the coronavirus was not the primary contributor to their death and often played no role at all. So when you see people out there tweeting, COVID killed 6 million people, I saw it today. Kyle Kalinske did it, I think. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's just repeating government propaganda. That's it. That's all that is. Now, we knew this long before these people. Drettler admitted this contributed to the imprecise reporting on COVID deaths and hospitalizations, which he added did not come from a place of bad intent. Fuck you. He denied that there was any conspiracy behind it to exaggerate coronavirus numbers for some nefarious purpose. Yes, there was. There was a conspiracy behind it to exaggerate coronavirus numbers for a nefarious purpose. Yes, there is. There still is. They get paid more. Epidemiologist Dr. Tracy Hogg responded to Wen's piece stating, spring 2021, the United States had good evidence that greater than 40% of child COVID admissions were incidental. 2021, Denmark announced they've distinguished with versus from COVID hospitals, and COVID plus deaths in Denmark in 2022 were 60 to 70% incidental. So they're saying we knew this stuff in 2021. Why does it take the United States Washington Post, their doctors, to wait till 2023 to say this? Because they're frickin' paid for by Big Pharma. The doctor added, amazing how long it has taken the United States to accept this as a problem. Yes. Center for Security Policy senior analyst J. Michael Waller slammed the Washington Post over the column, stating, not long ago, the Washington Post was calling us conspiracy theorists for saying such things. It's Fox News. The Australian journalist Adam Creighton tweeted, people saying this is a year ago were booted off social media. So the difference between a conspiracy theory and a fact is about 6 months, 6 months to a year. Dr. Lena Wen slammed after admitting there's been overcounting of COVID deaths 2.5 years late. This is how I feel. I feel like this headline. She cited sources claiming that most patients diagnosed with COVID are actually in a hospital for some other illness. The article is titled, We Are Overcounting COVID Deaths, and That's a Problem. Wen's observations prompted readers on Twitter to complain, stating that it's 2.5 years too late. Here she is in July of 2021, pushing vaccine mandates as the only way to end the pandemic. You ready?
I think this really depends on what it is that we do at this point. So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system?
So when a virus, as Dr. Robert Malone taught us on this show, when a virus like this mutates, it often becomes more contagious. Like she says, she leaves out the second part. When it becomes more contagious, it becomes less deadly, which is exactly what has happened to this virus. Now this virus presents the symptoms as a cold, runny nose, headache, fever, mild body aches. She keeps saying, this one by the next one, it's even more contagious. It's going to be more contagious, which sounds scary, but she doesn't tell you that second part. Why? Because she's a propagandist. And because her and everybody in her profession and everybody on CNN gets paid by Big Pharma.
And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly tests. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
So I knew more about the pandemic than she did when she said that, because I knew that wasn't true. I knew that because Dr. Robert Malone came on this show and told us that it's a leaky vaccine and you can't vaccinate your way out of a pandemic like this. He knew. He knew. And I knew before she's saying this on television, and none of these people know anything about what they're talking about, including her. If you came to this show, you would have got the accurate information. You go to CNN, you get medical misinformation. I bet that's never going to be taken down. I bet that's up on YouTube somewhere, and it'll never be taken down. It'll never be in CNN's Wikipedia page how they spread medical misinformation. Everybody, we're doing live stand-up comedy in Los Angeles in January and February in Los Angeles. And then we're going to Tempe, Palm Springs, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Nashville. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for all those tickets and become a premium member while you're there.
Okay. So thoughts? Elizabeth, you want to go first?
I love him so much.
He's
he
so
is
awesome.
A propagandist. He is. I'm going to introduce him into a little more of a palatable vernacular. Pissant is much better.
You think
than
he's a
James.
Propagandist?
No, he was talking about my greasy-haired, thinning, overweight, pimply health director of Chicago is a propagandist.
No, yes, she looks fairly thin. That was that doctor.
Well, the one we had for Chicago, she was just the picture.
Yeah, no,
of
this
health.
Is for the whole state. She's the state health director.
And it's like vitamins for your hair, baby. And
right.
Sad.
But you know what's funny about this? Okay, just let me interject for 1 second, because what's really interesting about this is that all she was doing was telling the truth. You know what I mean? Like even back then, like she succinctly explained how they counted COVID deaths. Dr. Birx did something similar, but wasn't as succinct as the health director of the state of Illinois was. And I shared that video everywhere. I was watching at that time. I was watching all of the major cities and states and the daily White House press briefing. I observed that whole time and I watched most of them live. And so as that was going on, as that woman was giving her interview in 2020, I think it was April of 2020, something like that. I was sharing it to people and people were unfriending me and telling me that I was completely wrong and that I'm not a doctor and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, here it is. It's a doctor. Mm-hmm. She's saying it right here. And here we are 3 years later and now they're finally admitting it. It's just, I'm sorry, go ahead. I cut you off.
But they're not admitting it out loud and proud as if they were, on the transgender train. They are still promoting, but not, I was going to say they're promoting the vaccine.
Washington Post is pretty out loud and proud.
Well, they need, here, this is a call-in radio show and hit a medical doctor on WGN radio today, right? And I'm like, oh, God, do I have to get cable? I need cable. I can't listen to this shit anymore. But there's my entertainment for the day, 1940 style. And so they got all these idiots calling in. And then here comes this – I'm like, really? He's a pharmaceutical rep because he sounds amazing. And he goes right to the point, I'm going to go on vacation. Should I get my booster? I just got my booster in September. The doctor – hesitated and he's like, well, we're not going to recommend any more boosters. And I was like, oh, why is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
He said, because, and this guy was like, oh, he had to have been a pharmaceutical rep because I don't know anybody who is that gung-ho on getting as many shots. Even if he didn't need it, I'm going to need it in 6 months, right? And he's like, no, not until the FDA approves them, and right now we're going to just kind of hold off on any more vaccines. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? They're not addressing the dead elephant in the room yet, but they really, really should. The video of Zuckerberg talking to his staff on a Zoom call about his hesitancy for his employees to get this vaccine because they don't quite know enough about it. Have you seen that yet? That just came out on a TikTok, which I refuse to install the app into my phone. But the best information in the world.
Oh, you're already
lied
on. Who cares if China has
it? I know, but it's like, no. To me, they're like PayPal, and I hate PayPal. But nonetheless, I'm just kind of one of those impossible people that you can't change my mind on those things. But the amazing... Yeah, I don't know. And it must have been probably right about when they were doing. I don't know how old this Zoom call is with Zuckerberg. Just saying, I think we need to err on the side of caution. I don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't know enough about this. I thought, it was fascinating that he was promoting and dodging and blocking anybody's opinion on this thing. But there he had a conference call on Zoom with his – probably not the entire, who knows if he did the entire company or it was just his head CEOs or whatever. But that was their policy. And that
right.
needs to go viral. And that needs to be on fucking CNN and on Tucker and on Newsmax and whatever. But they're not. They're not doing the reversal of public health to warn them that possibly there is some danger that we're just now becoming aware of. Let's hold off. Let's reassess. And instead, we've got a slew of deaths. And now they're being, I'm like, pancreatic cancer's up again all of a sudden, not a vaccine, not a heart attack. And I'm like, are they covering? Are they covering up this? Because it seems like they are dropping like flies. And myocarditis is not the ticket anymore. It's after a short battle with pancreatic cancer. I'm like, was it really? I wonder. And there was another one where, who died? Someone died in a car crash. And it turned out that, Leslie Jordan, that little cute little guy, that little comedian that had just died. Is that his name? Leslie Jordan?
Leslie something.
You know, Leslie Howard. He was, anyways, cute little comedian. He'd been on all kinds of shows forever. He died, but in a car accident, but they're thinking he died behind the wheel and then crashed. And I thought, well, that's not the story I remember. But nonetheless, it wasn't natural causes and they couldn't pin it down. I was like, could it be another suddenly, died suddenly? And this needs to become a story instead of an embarrassment. The way to like regain anyone's public trust in any authority of any sort is for them to turn the story around, own it, and then move on and take us to a touchdown. But they're just still playing this blanketed cloak and dagger shit. And I don't know, will it be another? I love it that the conspiracy theory to fact is 6 months. That was great. I thought that was his best line in it. That manifest that he did. But I don't know. And it's still you'll turn on the radio and you'll still get the COVID vaccine. Go get vaccinated. When are those good? Those need to be completely halted for if they want to, you know, Chris, they can't be sued. So that they're absolved of any type of retaliation. But you would think just out of caution, they would remove them because, oh, my God, we got to stop promoting this because people are dying and we could be sued. We could in another universe of reality where things are as they should be, we could be sued. They should take them down. And yet they don't. So.
Yep, can't even be sued.
Pardon me?
They can't even be
sued.
Yeah, go ahead, Mom.
Make a comment. The first thing is that Zuckerberg clip is in the good news folder. I don't know if you can play it, Danielle. I don't know if it's a YouTube or not. But it was chilling. But he was telling, and you are correct, Elizabeth, it was an all-staff meeting that they did on Zoom. And he was telling his employees not to take the shot because he said, well, for me, I'm just concerned that we don't know what the long-term side effects are going to be from this vaccine yet. And in the meantime, they were pummeling anyone that stepped outside the box by throttling them, putting them in Facebook jail, putting a COVID mark on anything that you tried to post. Same thing with Twitter. They all knew that there was a problem with this vaccine. This last in the UK, they had 1,000% increase in excess mortality. And yes, they're counting kinds of illnesses, including a raging increase in cancers, definitely heart attacks and strokes. So Elizabeth talks a lot about why are they still doing this? Why haven't they, you know, announced? When will they finally admit that there's a problem? They have been, including Lena Wynn, and, you know, lots of talking heads have been talking about it, but it doesn't get blown up the way Joe from Kokomo says I'm not taking the vaccine. Those things get promoted and blown up and howled about and screamed about, and you get, you know, 40,000 people yelling at you on a social media site. That video with Zuckerberg should have been at the top, should have been the top story on every national outlet. It will never see the light of day, except on places like Telegram, talk radio, shows like ours. I don't know. Can you play the clip, Danielle? Is it possible? Are you trying?
No, I can't play the clip. Sorry about that. But you know, it's a year old, right? I could probably find it on Veritas, because Veritas was the one that leaked it originally.
Yes. It's a year old. Okay. And that, and what does that tell you? This guy knew a year ago. It was at that time when they were telling you, take the shot or don't come out of your house, lose your job. I hope they take your children from you. I'm telling you, the people that resisted the pressure to take that shot are kings and queens, because the pressure was immense. Now they're talking about you probably shouldn't get on an airplane, because it's possible that the pilots are going to have a heart attack while you're on the plane.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
Yeah. So I haven't been doing a whole lot of flying lately, but I'm certainly not going now, because those guys, for sure, the airline pilots were told they were going to lose. Well, everybody was told they were going to lose their job. You can't fly unless you take the shot. And look what they've done. The overcounting of COVID deaths, a very valid point. They said it back then. The Illinois lady, Burks, said it, right?
Yes, she did.
Jumped up and said, hey, did you hear what she just said? And you got shouted down. You're not a doctor. Shut up, conspiracy theory. And the finger got put, the button got pushed on you down the chute. We repeated what they said and got censored for it.
Yeah, all I did was watch the press conferences. That's all I did.
A long time ago, meanwhile telling everybody you're all going to die. They terrified an entire planet with propaganda so strong and so pervasive and so wicked and so evil. There are still people walking down the street with masks on, driving in their car by themselves. Because they're terrified of this flu virus.
It was a military grade style propaganda program. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Well. Which they've been planning for a long time.
They have, and because they wanted control, and they saw their control slipping when Donald Trump got elected as president. So, this was plan B.
Yeah. I would really like to get through this Tucker clip before you get started, because, you know, Elizabeth and a whole lot of people want to know when this is going to sink in, when, you know, the veil is going to be lifted. When are people actually going to see what's right in front of them?
Question before you start the clip. Answer the question. When do you think, Danielle? Elizabeth, when do you think? I know what I think. When do you think it's going to be?
You know what? I'm so disgusted right now with people's apathetic need to follow what the rules are laid out by these tyrants. We had our gun rights taken away here, and we have a lawyer who's going to fight for our rights, but it only includes those people in the lawsuit. I'm like, and now there's another lawsuit. Wait, it costs $200. And in the meantime, it's like, this is unconstitutional. I don't need a lawyer. I don't need to be in a lawsuit. These
people are
that bootlickers.
Case will go to the Supreme
They're
Court,
bootlickers.
And they will.
They won't. They will not stand up. They. We got our biggest top people. We got to have an AR-15, but I can't because they said I can't. I have no hope for this country at the moment. So that's my answer.
Okay. Well, that okay. Can I answer?
Go ahead. Yes, I'd like to hear your answer.
Because this is a good segue into this clip, which is probably not for a long time. Even though all of the information is out there, I feel for humanity a little bit, and I honestly I know that's pessimistic, but I think that we're just getting around to finding out that the CIA killed Kennedy. You know what I mean? Which is actually a good segue into this clip, this Tucker Carlson clip. So
yes.
If you guys are ready.
So good. Yes. Go.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. If you're a normal person, it's a pretty weird experience watching Joe Biden's presidency get euthanized by his own party. On one hand, there's an undeniable thrill to it. You have to admit that. Biden is the most destructive president in American history. More things have broken under his watch than under any other president. Joe Biden deserves to be driven from office and disgraced. But for this? Breaking federal classification rules, some of the stupidest and most dishonest laws Congress has ever passed? It's like arresting El Chapo for expired plates. It's missing the point. But it looks like that's what's going to happen. It seems like every day one of Biden's lawyers shows up with more sheaves of classified documents, like a dog who's found another dead chipmunk under the house. This bunch was in his office at Penn, the one paid for by the Communist Party of China. These were found next to his sad little midlife crisis sports car in a garage in Delaware, and so on. You keep waiting for the White House physician to announce another document trove has been discovered after a routine colonoscopy. It could happen, because at this point you know exactly where this story is heading. Permanent Washington does not want Joe Biden to run for president again. This is how they're sending that message. Even CNN has decided to become interested in Joe Biden's misdeeds 2 years into his presidency. They're doing segments on how classification laws protect this country from its mortal enemies like Russia. So you know for certain the order has gone out. Biden is done. What a missed opportunity this is. If you're looking for crimes that Joe Biden has committed, there is a very long list. Our country is being invaded. The world is on the brink of nuclear war. American cities have become slums. Our economy is in shambles. Even our airplanes no longer take off on time. It's a disaster, and Joe Biden and his staff have a hand in all of it. In a country with a functioning government, Joe Biden would have been impeached before the first million illegal aliens crossed over our southern border. But no one did anything to stop it. So now they're arriving at the rate of 250,000 a month. Watch.
Customs and Border Protection sources exclusively tell Fox News more than 250,000 migrants were encountered at the border in the month of December, about as many people living in Scottsdale, Arizona, making it the highest month ever on record.
In Eagle Pass, Texas, the migrant surge continues. Local Kinney County rancher Pam Schott had a harrowing experience with migrants on her property.
And I looked out the back and I could see three illegals walking up to the house. I had gotten a gun, which is an AR-15. I asked them, I said, please, you know, stop, go away, and had the gun in my hands, and they, you know, just kind of looked at me and kind of smiled, and I was like, Otto, and just go away, and they refused to do so.
They're on the other side of the glass. Trying to get in and not backing down.
Even though I have a high, powerful rifle in my arms, they are not backing down. That was scary.
A rifle Joe Biden would like to take away from her. So that, writ large, is the biggest story of our lifetimes. It is the one thing Joe Biden has done that cannot be undone. Our great-grandchildren are going to live with the consequences of this. But you never know it from watching most of the news. There is an effective media blackout on Joe Biden's immigration policies and on their downstream effects on America. There are too many strangers pouring in at once, and as a result, the country is becoming chaotic.
Here's a rare television news piece on what happened when officials in New York decided to house some of Joe Biden's illegal aliens in a local hotel.
An employee there says that migrants have made an absolute mess of the place. You're standing in front of it. Is that true?
Yeah, well, what we're hearing from that employee is that the hotel is completely overrun. He says, you know, of course, some people just looking for that better life, but as a result, the hotel is a mess, and he fears for his safety.
We don't have any guests anymore. They sold the entire hotel from the fourth floor to the 28th floor. It's all migrants. Mm-hmm. So we got people who are getting drunk, using marijuana. They are punching and beating their wives or their girlfriends. We have teenagers running around wild around the hotel, opening the fire exit doors and doing what teenagers do in the stairways, and it's a mess.
It's a mess, he said. Of course it is. The whole country is a mess because Joe Biden has ignored immigration laws passed by the Congress. That is a crime, and it has killed huge numbers of Americans, hundreds of thousands dead from narcotics.
Fentanyl has changed the entire game here in San Francisco. You can't buy heroin out here anymore. Nobody sells heroin and nobody uses heroin. Everybody has transitioned over to fentanyl. The fentanyl is the most dangerous drug to ever hit the streets of the United States in history.
Fentanyl has killed more than 70,000 Americans in 12 months. Here in San Francisco, it's the dominant drug. It's responsible for three-quarters of drug overdoses, brazen drug dealing, and rampant drug use. In the shadow of City Hall, the same City Hall residents say actively enable the fentanyl crisis.
All of it, every gram, came over an open border. So what's notable as a political matter is that every one of these disasters, the fentanyl epidemic, the chaos and crime in our cities, the invasion underway through Texas, Arizona, and California, all of those deeply concern Americans. We're not guessing at that. Polls show it very clearly. By contrast, how many voters do you think are lying awake right now worrying that public officials might violate some obscure federal classification law? None. Not a single person. No one outside Washington cares or even understands the issue. And yet, it is classified documents, not our open borders, that the Justice Department is punishing Joe Biden for. Why is that? What's going on here? Well, it's simple. Washington is protecting itself. Joe Biden alone is responsible for this crime. He alone took home classified documents. He didn't have help in doing that. But allowing the country to be invaded, that's not something you can do by yourself. So if Biden were to be taken down for opening the southern border, a lot of other people would go with him. He had a lot of accomplices. Permanent Washington doesn't want that. And ultimately, and here's the point, permanent Washington is in charge. It's not the democracy you imagine. We're seeing that now. So if you want to understand, if you really want to understand how the American government actually works at the highest levels, and if you want to know why they don't teach history anymore, one thing you should know is that the most popular president in American history was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Yet somehow, without a single vote being cast by a single American voter, Richard Nixon was kicked out of office and replaced by the only unelected president in American history. So we went from the most popular president to a president nobody voted for. Wait a minute, you may ask. Why didn't I know that? Wasn't Richard Nixon a criminal? Wasn't he despised by all decent people? No, he wasn't. In fact, if any president could claim to be the people's choice, it was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was reelected in 1972 by the largest margin of the popular vote ever recorded before or since. Nixon got 17 million more votes than his opponent. Less than 2 years later, he was gone. He was forced to resign, and in his place, an obedient servant of the federal agencies called Gerald Ford took over the White House. How did that happen? Well, it's a long story, but here are the highlights, and they tell you a lot. Richard Nixon believed that elements in the federal bureaucracy were working to undermine the American system of government and had been doing that for a long time. He often said that. He was absolutely right. On June 23, 1972, Nixon met with the then CIA director, Richard Helms, at the White House. During the conversation, which thankfully was tape recorded, Nixon suggested he knew, quote, who shot John, meaning President John F. Kennedy. Nixon further implied that the CIA was directly involved in Kennedy's assassination, which we now know it was. Helms' telling response? Total silence. But for Nixon, it didn't matter because it was already over. 4 days before, on June 19th, the Washington Post had published the first of many stories about a break-in at the Watergate office building. Unbeknownst to Nixon and unreported by the Washington Post, four of the five burglars worked for the CIA. The first of many dishonest Watergate stories was written by a 29-year-old Metro reporter called Bob Woodward. Who exactly was Bob Woodward? Well, he wasn't a journalist. Bob Woodward had no background whatsoever in the news business. Instead, Bob Woodward came directly from the classified areas of the federal government. Shortly before Watergate, Woodward was a naval officer at the Pentagon. He had a top-secret clearance. He worked regularly with the intel agencies. At times, Woodward was even detailed to the Nixon White House, where he interacted with Richard Nixon's top aides. Soon after leaving the Navy, for reasons that have never been clear, Woodward was hired by the most powerful news outlet in Washington and assigned the biggest story in the country. And just to make it crystal clear what was actually happening, Woodward's main source for his Watergate series was the deputy director of the FBI, Mark Felt. And Mark Felt ran, and we're not making this up, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, which was designed to secretly discredit political actors the federal agencies wanted to destroy, people like Richard Nixon. And at the same time, those same agencies were also working to take down Nixon's elected vice president, Spiro Agnew. In the fall of 1973, Agnew was indicted for tax evasion and forced to resign. His replacement was a colorless congressman from Grand Rapids called Gerald Ford. What was Ford's qualification for the job? Well, he had served on the Warren Commission, which absolved the CIA of responsibility for President Kennedy's murder. Nixon was strong-armed into accepting Gerald Ford by Democrats in Congress. Quote, "We gave Nixon no choice but Ford," Speaker of the House Carl Albert later boasted. 8 months later, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission was the President of the United States. See how that works? So those are the facts. Not speculation. All of that actually happened. None of it's secret. Most of it actually is on Wikipedia. But no mainstream news organization has ever told that story. It's so obvious, yet it's intentionally ignored. And as a result, permanent Washington remains in charge of our political system. Unelected lifers in the federal agencies make the biggest decisions in American government and crush anyone who tries to rein them in. And in the process, our democracy becomes a joke. Now, you may have noticed that the very first person in the Trump administration the agencies went after was General Michael Flynn. Why Flynn? Because Mike Flynn was a career Army intel officer who ran the Defense Intelligence Agency. In other words, Mike Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. And as a result, he was capable of fighting back. 4 days after Donald Trump's inauguration, the FBI lured Mike Flynn into a meeting without his lawyer, concocted a series of fake crimes, and forced him to resign. So that's how things actually work in Washington. Let's stop lying about it. Joe Biden, meanwhile, whooped like a hyena when the Justice Department destroyed Mike Flynn. So there is, we have to say, a certain perverse justice in watching something very similar happen to Joe Biden himself 6 years later. Joe Biden does not deserve our sympathy. He's being shafted, but don't weep for him. And yet the rest of us do deserve a better system, an actual democracy. When people nobody voted for run everything, you are not living in a free country. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
Okay, so that's kind of why I'm saying, like, when are people going to wake up to it? Well, we have the information that that JFK was assassinated by our CIA, you know? And now here we are, decades later, and we're still, like, people aren't going down for it. You know, people who, you know, like the Bushes, why aren't we, you know, looking at this? Why aren't, you know, what's going on? Why aren't, and is this going to happen with COVID? Probably.
So I want to answer the question that I posed to you guys both. You, neither of you, and rightfully so, please don't hear me sneering at that, because it's breathtaking.
Carla, it's a little choppy. Can you get closer to your phone, maybe?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thanks.
Okay, I had it propped up on the pillow. So I want to answer the question that I posed to you guys. And I will tell you that your frustration and it is valid. But I am telling you, we are on the precipice. Do you know how many people watched that Tucker segment? First of all.
How many?
Most of the people. He has the lion's share of that demographic every single night, and people faithfully watch it. They pay for the Fox News app. The ones that stopped watching Fox News went and purchased the Fox News app to watch Tucker. So, having said that, the people know. Just because it doesn't seem like it, because I started off my segment by saying, you know, normally this stuff should get blown up, be on every, you know, howling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the way that they have done with certain stories and not with others. It doesn't matter anymore that the mainstream media isn't blowing this stuff up, because the people know. So, it was just about as bald-faced and bold. And listening to that story and making the connection between what they did to Nixon, to what they did to General Flynn, what they did to John F. Kennedy, and who's doing it. So a lot of times people are asking, you know, well, who's the deep state? Well, you have your answer. It's our own government. And if you consider it doesn't matter if it's being blown up on the mainstream media, it doesn't matter anymore. And that also millions of people watched that segment. And when they watched it, and I can't, you know, say this for sure, they say, yeah, we knew. So the question becomes, when will they pay?
I just find it really ironic that, you know, I think most of the people watching or listening to this show know that, you know, we've been saying this for such a long time. But I don't know. I just find it really ironic that, you know, the term conspiracy theory came from the Warren Commission, too. And here we are in 2023 still getting called the, you know, conspiracy theorists for questioning things that 3 years later they're coming out and saying were true all along. It's just not.
Why is that? Why is that? Because the government is running the propaganda machine, which is all of our news, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, the TV, CNN, Fox, whatever it is. It's there to control our thoughts and actions. Now, back in 1972, they knew exactly who killed Kennedy, because they had three huge, outlandishly popular celebrity stars from the 40s and 50s got together and produced a movie called Executive Action that even had a actor that looked exactly like the squirrely little weaselly little Bush that he was, that was the CIA director that masterminded and made sure that this happened with the turkey shoot. This was well known. I couldn't believe that movie got out, but because these guys were like, you know, I think it was like Richard Widmark and Lancaster and a couple other, I can't remember, big guys. All I needed was John Wayne, and it would have been like, boom. But it's a cult movie because it only got shown on TV, I think, and that was it. But it's well known, and it certainly does the three-way shot. He was not playing ball. It was known about. But they're not going to
blow it up.
There's never going to be another narrative without it being demonized, because we're under a control. We're not living in the America we think we are, because it's run by these government entities that think they can control us, or they've found that they can control us through an easy process. And he looked back and they did it in the 30s and 40s with this incredible, horrible destruction of a nation. And you know, they might as well have put us in concentration camps with the Dust Bowl and the Depression.
Okay, but,
and they,
but
they built it down, and gave benefits propaganda, and it's never stopped.
Okay, so hold on. That's not true. I want to stop you. We have alternate sources of media now that we never had before. People have stopped watching and believing that crap. Even though you don't hear about it because we don't have a voice, there are millions of us that know the truth, and we are implacable. So one has come to the conclusion that we're being fed bullshit, and we stopped listening. So, yes, it is true that they took over those bastions. They are a national security threat. The mainstream media. But people have stopped listening. They've been shown the truth. And even though, again, it's not on the media, which we shouldn't care about that anymore. We're done listening to them. We're done believing them. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite now. If someone from a mainstream media outlet told me I was blue, I would go out and look myself now. And I'm telling you, there are more of us than you can ever imagine. That's my opinion, and I have a lot of evidence to back it up, that no one's listening anymore to their propaganda machine. Thank God. I'm going to segue into the good news report, and it has absolutely everything to do with what we're talking about. And I'm going to start off by saying our buddy's name, and it's Seth Rich. So keep this in mind, that Tucker brought up General Flynn for a reason. That each time that they have taken out a sitting frickin' president, they did it with JFK with a bullet, they did it with Nixon with a bunch of deep state CIA agents, they tried to do it to Donald Trump, it didn't work. And then they had to, you know, bring COVID to do it. But one of the things that started all of it was the supposed hack of the DNC, that is the Democrat National Convention Committee.
Committee. There. Real quick, just so you know, I do have downloaded that Julian Assange Seth Rich clip. If you want to play it,
I'm gonna. Yeah, I do in just a minute. I want to sort of set it up, if you don't mind.
Please do.
It all started before the election, and it was part of their plan because they knew Hillary was going to lose. Remember the big thing, well, they never thought she would lose? Okay, well, they knew she was going to lose. They had this set up in advance. And I believe that Seth Rich and Julian Assange knew that. And they were doing whatever it took to make sure that they didn't get away with their stuff. That's my opinion. Or at least maybe they believed it was possible. And so they were setting up the left hook long before they were going to take this guy out. Okay.
Well, if it wasn't for us meddling kids, they would have gotten away with it too.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids. And so this is actually more evidence to what I'm saying, is that people in the background, underneath Anons, as they're called, which is short for anonymous researchers all over the world, not just the United States, have been quietly pilling the entire world. Okay. So there's a young man named Seth Rich who is watching the stuff that they're doing to Bernie Sanders, bless his heart. They were making sure that Hillary Clinton was the nominee. They had to protect themselves. They had to make sure that she was the nominee for their self-protection. It's always the cover-up. And Seth Rich, a bright-eyed ideologue, passionate about politics, like my kid, goes into the Democrat National Committee, downloads a bunch of information, and he passes it to a gentleman named Julian Assange. Now, keep this in mind. I'm saying this because I know for a fact. They kill him for it. They being the deep state, our government. When they killed him, they went in and took his personal laptop and his work laptop, and they stashed it away, and they called it a botched robbery. During this botched robbery, his money was left in his pocket, his watch was left on his wrist, and his cell phone was left with it, with the body. Apparently, he was still alive when the cop got there, but that's a story for another day. He turned this information over to a gentleman named Julian Assange, and Julian Assange started broadcasting this information all over the world. It was wicked, wicked, evil stuff. We got a look at the underbelly of the deep state. The election, after that, they did everything they could possibly do to take down Donald Trump, starting with General Flynn, because General Flynn knew where the bodies were buried. And they had to get him out of the way in order to get Trump. Since then, there have been literally hundreds of people that have been FOIA-ing. FOIA means a request that the FBI or whatever agency they're trying to get the information for. Because remember, ostensibly, this information is ours. It belongs to the people of the United States. They have no right to keep it secret, even though they do all the time. Requesting that the FBI search terms to get the information that we're allowed to have legally. The FBI kept returning, sorry, there's no information under those search terms. Your FOIA is invalid. On and so forth. To get the information about what they took from Seth Rich and why they took it. And to get the information about the quote-unquote hack of the DNC, because they told us immediately that it was CrowdStrike and that it was Russians that hacked the DNC. They even indicted 12 rando Russian people to make it look good. Okay? So I'm going to talk a little bit about how they get away with this crap. And there was an article posted by the Epoch Times. And I'm going to just quote some of it, and then I'm going to move into the Seth Rich stuff. It says, Seth Rich case exposes how FBI shields records from the public. The FBI is undermining the Freedom of Information Act. That's what FOIA stands for, Freedom of Information Act, by shielding items that should be disclosed to the public under nebulous categories such as digital evidence, according to a lawyer working on a high-profile FBI records case. The FBI can say anything is digital evidence and that they don't enter it into their index system. And nobody ever knows about it or nobody ever finds it. This is Ty Clevenger, who's one of the people that have been going at the FBI over Seth Rich the entire time. Bureau, in response to a FOIA request from Clevenger, stated that it found no records regarding the deceased Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich. They lied. They said they searched the central record system. So here's what, this is one of the little tricks that they do. James Comey, who was the director of the FBI, spelled his name wrong deliberately in most of the documents that he put through. He spelled it Corny. And this is what they do. They spell things wrong deliberately so that they don't have to be responsive to FOIA requests. In late 2020, though, in a case brought by Clevenger on behalf of Texas resident Brian Huddleston, you'll hear his name a lot today, the government acknowledged that it did have the materials on Seth Rich. Officials, later made it clear that they had been given Rich's work laptop by the law firm Wait, pop quiz. Who do you think the law firm was that gave the FBI Seth Rich's laptop? Pop quiz.
I'm going to have to go with Perkins Coie, Alex.
Yeah, a girl. Yeah. They're up to their eyeballs, these dirty, filthy bastards. They also came in possession of a disc containing images from Rich's personal computer. I wonder what those are. In its latest filing, as it resists the judge's order that they hand over the computer, remember we talked about this in September and then again in December, okay? These people are stonewalling. The Bureau revealed that it located even more information on Rich. Who knew? Okay, stopping there because I want to read you a couple of articles about this case. Just recently, and this was on January 21st, bombshell in late Friday FBI data dump, Robert Mueller, claimed Seth Rich not involved in Russia collusion email scandal without ever examining Rich's work laptop. Another request for records from the FBI related to the death of Democrat staffer Seth Rich in 2016 provides more evidence that the FBI is lying and there is more to the Seth Rich murder than they want to share. Here we are with Ty Clevenger, has been requesting records from the FBI and Deep State for years related to the death of Seth Rich. The FBI has done all it can to prevent what they know about Seth Rich from getting out. But Attorney Clevenger has been persistent because he knows there is something the Deep State is not revealing. Last night, the FBI provided another data release in the slow roll of these legitimate requests. It looks like this release provides more evidence that the efforts to get the bottom of Seth Rich's murder are necessary. This is the seventh sworn declaration from this member of the corrupt FBI declarations that seem always to need revisions. So he's tweeting this, Ty Clevenger. Seth Rich documents fresh off the grill. FBI filed a new motion about CrowdStrike records. It says that this is the seventh sworn declaration of FBI records honcho Michael G. Seidel, who regularly needs to update and revise the official narrative because the feds are lying. Here's why we're not giving you anything about this CrowdStrike report. So they're still stalling. So this is that motion, Danielle, that I sent you that got so many – how many views on Twitter when you posted it?
Just shy of 100,000.
So to your point, when is it going to happen? 100,000 people looked at that post about Seth Rich. The people know the way that it was before. In Exhibit 5, the FBI finally admits that CrowdStrike performed a review of Seth Rich's laptop. The FBI admits that they took possession of Seth Rich's work laptop but never examined the contents. By inference, this means that the FBI and the Mueller exam relied solely on a three-page report from CrowdStrike for the examination of Seth Rich's work laptop but never examined the contents themselves. They relied on the three-page report from CrowdStrike. So Mueller claims Seth played no role without ever investigating the laptop on purpose, because then when questioned, they are able to say, well, we have no evidence of that. So that's what that latest filing is, Danielle, that you have from Huddleston. Now we have, lo and behold, we have an eighth sworn declaration from Mr. Seidel. I must have become a full-time job for him. That makes me happy. Mueller said the Deep State didn't examine Seth Rich's laptop because they likely knew what they would find, and this would end their attempted Russia collusion coup against President Trump. The Mueller gang knew that Russia didn't hack the DNC and obtain Hillary and Podesta's emails. They purposely didn't look into Seth Rich's laptop nor interview Julian Assange at WikiLeaks to determine if the emails WikiLeaks released because they likely already knew the answer. So I could go back. I have articles going back all the way to, let's see, what's the date on that one?
I would really like to play this this 2-minute clip while you get your reports
okay,
together.
Yes, let's do it. I'm actually done. I'm saying they're getting closer. This last set of documents is we're going now. We know the FBI lied about Seth Rich. All this time they've been telling us we were conspiracy theories. We're getting close to what Tucker put on his clip is that these people can't hide anymore. It's that they attempted a coup on a sitting president of the United States again.
Again, yeah. They're without shame and without check. And as this continues, you know that they shot down a helicopter in the Ukraine. And it wasn't just a group of kindergartners that were going to go to Kohl's and buy some more strollers for the Ukraine extravaganza. It was the Ministry of Defense and his cabinet members, his deputy chiefs.
They're starting wars all over the world again.
They were investigating the corruption of the sales of all these tanks that they are bickering about right now. Because, you know, the big guy needs 10%. And
yep.
They need to sell them once, not twice, but three times. Well, the military said, no, you're asking too much money. Boom, they're gone. And now they can do the corruption as they wish. This is not, you know, it just fascinates me. Like, see, nobody stands up. Nobody demands anything. And yet,
I'm standing
you know,
up. You're standing up.
His laptop was with Hunter.
Okay.
And,
hold on.
It's like, what's going to happen here? I don't see anything.
What's
going
to happen is they're going to, this time they'll go for World War III. They're starting it right now, obviously. You just said they shot down a helicopter with the Minister of Defense. That
it
will
was
be
around
the news
the whole week.
Yeah.
And we're still, you know.
So if you want to play the clip, Danielle, go ahead.
And we have a caller. I think it's Nathan. But just hang in there with us for the good news report, and I'll let you in as soon as we're done with that. Okay, and so this is just, you know, to bring it back to the topic of Seth Rich, at the same time, when all of this was going on, you know, it's just a botched robbery and the FBI not having it and then having it and all of this stuff. This was also going on at the same time. We believe that Julian Assange received the information with his DNC leaks from Seth Rich. And at that same time, this is Assange was a semi-free man and did an interview. So I want to play that. It's only a two minutes of this interview. But if you're ready, I'm going to play it now.
Sounds good.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there?
We
Do you even know
material.
What you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. The 27-year-old works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So.
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So,
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources
but
are.
Why make the suggestion about a young guy being shot in the streets of Washington?
Because we have to understand how high the stakes are in the United States, and that our sources are, you know, our sources face serious risks. That's why they come to us, so we can protect their anonymity.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. So, that's basically what you're doing.
Well, others have suggested that. We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich. I think it is a concerning situation. There's not a conclusion yet. We wouldn't be willing to state a conclusion, but we are concerned about it. And more importantly, a variety of WikiLeaks sources are concerned when that kind of thing happens.
Okay, sorry. Just real quick to the point, but this is Seth. Why would he say that unless he was the source?
He was.
I remember that.
Yeah. He was.
Yeah,
the source.
I remember that.
So the question is, what, you know, we know what they're doing, and what else are they willing to do? Certainly murder a young man to stop him and then cover it up for all of the time. And so I suppose I'm doing this story today as part of the good news, is to help you understand that there are people that will never stop. We will never stop until we get justice for Seth Rich, until we get justice for Donald Trump's stolen presidency and the stolen election. They killed millions of people with COVID to stop this guy from being elected. What else will they do? Obviously, according to Elizabeth, they're shooting down planes in Ukraine trying to start World War III. These people will stop at nothing, but Bush is neither will we. We will not
stop until
we get justice.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about, what do you think? You know, I remember seeing this clip. It was on TV.
They used to
interview Julian Assange because he was the newest thing with his new media company, and then they, you know, demonized him, persecuted him, and then arrested him. Why do you think they've never had him killed through all of this?
That's a great question, Elizabeth. Probably has a kill switch on somebody.
Do you think it is to keep Snowden? Because Snowden has the same information, and he's free in another country. Hey, look what we're doing to him. Keep your mouth shut. But these guys can't be the only two people that have access to. I mean, we have access to the Pentagon Papers, the 15, you know, is it the five countries decimated in 15 years, a big plan of world domination for whatever their diabolical purpose was, to come in and wipe out the entire Middle East in the northern part of Africa. But that was one of the WikiLeaks drops. And then
there was also a WikiLeaks drop about why can't we just drone strike Assange? That could be an answer right there, is that they have Assange basically has access to all of this information, and I'm sure there's also this the dead man's switch that Assange has. So if they take him out, then everything gets released. So
the simple fact that
WikiLeaks published a document. An email from, I believe it was from Hillary Clinton, saying, can't we just drone strike this guy? He published that strategically because, you can't just drone strike this guy, because now we've got it in WikiLeaks, which has, you know, never been, there's never been a sustained allegation against WikiLeaks in court. Everything is up on the up and up with his information. Mm-hmm. So when we've got an information source that's that, you know, locked up tightly, neatly locked up, that if they do kill him, number one, they've got the proof right there on WikiLeaks, and number two, all of the rest is going to be dumped.
Yeah. I was very kind of disappointed with Trump when he didn't give him clemency and wanted him to come over here and be persecuted.
Me too.
But, you know, the more, you know, when you go into the web of, you know, 5D chest, 5G, 5 dimension chest.
Maybe he didn't.
Witness protection? Is he in witness protection? I wonder.
Believes he's safe where he's at. Who knows?
I
certainly we wanted it to come.
thanks to the Ukraine thing, the Ukrainian military shot down their own people because they were getting more bigger cut. They were getting too greedy. That's who's doing this. They've been talking about there being a false flag to try to prompt World War II. Well, this was starting to look like that because it was on the radio quite a bit, this helicopter, and they were playing the heartstrings of the children. I'm like, but who was on the helicopter? Not just a bunch of kids. No, it was the Ministry of Defense and his deputies that were taken out. And
I don't want to cut you off, Elizabeth, but I think that we should stick. We can get back to that in the third hour, but I think Mom wants to stay on track with the good news report. Can we talk about the Ukraine thing? Because it is interesting, but I just want to make sure that we stay on track with the good news. And then, caller, thank you for staying with us. We're going to get you just as soon as this is done.
Right. So the last thing that I want to point out is also back to that Tucker clip, because apparently they're getting ready to get rid of Joe Biden. He's become a liability to them. Okay. And
let me ask you real quick. They do not say that the FBI is raiding. I'm like, who's prompting all these investigations? Why are they looking for anything and they're finding everything?
Okay.
Do you have answered
the question. They are getting rid of him. So we don't care about classified documents. Tucker started his segment by saying they overclassify. It's crazy. Look at what they're actually taking him down for. Biden has way too much for them to actually go out and do a special counsel and start bringing up this stuff. They can't afford it. They're getting rid of him ahead of that. Okay? If they start digging into China and Ukraine and Joe Biden and his family's activities along with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they start digging into that stuff, it's over. So they're getting rid of him, another coup on a sitting president. And so that's why we're in the mess that we're in, or why he's in the mess that he's in right now. And Tucker said it perfectly. He goes, he should have been impeached for he's the worst president in the history of the United States. But they're taking, all of a sudden, these classified documents are popping up everywhere. They're going to find him next to his colonoscopy, which I thought was hilarious. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't afford for them to actually do investigations. They're going to say, okay, you can impeach him for this. And that's it, because the stuff coming out that would come out would rock the entire planet. So having said that, I've just got a few more articles before I finish the good news report. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
A big case in Pedogate this week. And you will not hear about this on the mainstream media. It is really, really bad. So, I hope I don't trigger anyone. But they investigated an LGBTQ pedophile ring, and here's what they found. It says apparently they adopted a couple of kids and were pimping them out. They were sodomizing them themselves, filming them, passing them out to other pedos, and the reason why you won't hear a lot of it on the mainstream media is because these are the darlings of the LGBTQ pack. So the story goes, not only did the gay married men allegedly rape the two boys who were adopted through a Christian special needs adoption agency, they're disabled children. They were pimping out their children to nearby pedophiles in the Atlanta area suburbs. So that one, they're going down. They're going to prison for the rest of their lives. And so that's the good news. Wait a minute. Hold on. About that. And did I cover this story last week? Let's see. January 4th. Yes, that one's done. Okay. In the good news folder. Sorry, Danielle. I apologize. It says for J6, it looks like that Jim Jordan is going to bring the prisoners that are being held in solitary confinement, have been since January, right after January 6th, going to bring them to testify about the treatment that they're receiving in the D.C. gulag. He's going to bring them from jail to the Congress and have them testify. And I'm really, really celebrating that. It says, Jim Jordan to agree today to bring the prisoners in to testify to Congress about their treatment since their arrest. Here's the audio and the press release and the letter that says that that he's going to do it, which is really great. Great news.
How many of the prisoners?
I don't know how many they're going to bring to testify, but there's a whole lot of them, and they're looking to arrest a whole lot more.
600 people held against their will. That's fantastic.
Okay, wonderful news. This one, Danielle, I know, hold your breath, is going to shock you, but the Pentagon can't account for $220 billion in government property, failed their fifth audit. Okay, so you wonder who the deep state is? It's these bastards right here.
That's Trump change.
Trump change.
There's no black
21
project.
Trillion is what they're at, plus the 200 billion now. But 21 trillion.
Yes. Plus, Rumsfeld, I think it was about the same back in 99, right?
That's
2 trillion? And then they had to blow up the buildings? Before.
The next day, 9/11 happened. Admitted that they had lost.
On September 10th.
September 10th.
What you're telling me is they're trying to balance the books still after 20 years of not being able to.
It's a freaking money laundering scheme. A 2020 election case that had been dismissed by a county superior court for lack of standing, which is typical. That means they've never heard the evidence to this day, remember, has been reinstated by the Georgia Appeals Court. The appeals court reinstated the Garland Favorito versus Alex Wan case, which alleges that counterfeit ballots were included in Fulton County's absentee ballots in 2020. So, again, implacable. We haven't stopped. We'll never stop. And I just want you guys to know that. I want you to get a hold of that even though it seems like nothing's being done, people aren't being prosecuted, that's all true. It is. It feels like that. I know. We are awake. We are not apathetic. And we will never stop until justice is done. Seth Rich is going to get justice. We are going to see justice. I believe that. I have to believe that. Otherwise, I would be like, ugh, God. I just know that we will eventually have justice, that this movement is bigger than anyone can ever imagine, and we're not going to stop. Does anybody have questions, concerns, or comments? You could maybe let Nathan in.
I don't think it's
Danielle.
Nathan. It's not Nathan, but I will let in the caller in just 1 second. But I do have to say my comment and slightly concern is that you didn't mention anything about chickens in this I told you so moment in history where people who have chickens and get eggs are really flexing, really this is a big I told you so moment. And people are so much, in favor, or aware of what's going on that they're actually coming to us and saying, wow, you were right. It's pretty impressive. Okay,
Go ahead and let the caller in. But while you're doing that, let me tell you a little bit about my chickens, because of course. Danielle had me get one day years ago and says, Mom, let's get a couple of chickens. So we started off getting a couple of chickens, and I ended up at one point, I think I had almost 100 chickens, right? And they are easy to care for. They're animals, so they require some care, but the best eggs you can imagine. And then as things started to kind of go south, we're like, hey, we're kind of protected because we have food source. Then last year, and I think I might have talked about this on the radio, if I didn't, a virus came through my flock. And I started losing chickens. They would get sick, and about 12 hours later, they'd be dead.
Oh, my
and
God.
There's, yeah, something called, I didn't wow. know it at the time, just like typical California, it always comes through here first, something called avian flu.
Oh, okay.
So in California, because, and here we go, because of COVID, they took broad-spectrum antibiotics off of the shelves for farmers because people were using it because it had ivermectin in it. And they remember when they made it to where you couldn't get it? Hold on.
Everything you need to know about the government, they take anything that's beneficial away from you in a pandemic. Oh, that makes me so fucking...
These dirty bastards made it to where we couldn't treat our flock when this thing... But here's the thing. So you say, oh, well, it was, but it had to be planned. They wanted our birds to die. Well, it turned out...
Yes.
I had a friend who had some stashed. We drove up 60 miles there and back to get it. I administered the medicine, and I'm watching them die in front of my eyes. Within 24 hours, I lost like nine birds. I forget exactly. But they all got better right away. Since then, they went across the United States, and they killed millions of chickens. "Quote unquote," prevent the spread of avian flu. That is why your eggs are so expensive right now, and it's going to cost a fortune to replenish the flocks that were killed. So not only are the eggs more expensive, the feed is more expensive. You can't get the antibiotics to treat your birds. It's obvious it was planned. Again.
Yeah. I'm letting the caller in. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Letting the caller in. Hold on. Hello.
Hi, guys. I love you.
Oh, I love you.
Oh,
Lily. I didn't recognize your phone number, and I'm sorry. So, well, we're so glad you're here.
No, don't be. I really enjoy listening to the conversation, especially about Seth Rich. Seth Rich, I can't say words, I guess, but he's actually from Omaha. And so he and I met him once, and we had, like, mutual friends because I used to be really involved in the Democratic Party back when I was still stupid. And so, anyway, he was a really great guy, and I just am, like, so proud and honored that he is still being spoken about, you know, like, this many years later. Nobody has forgotten about him, and that makes my heart really happy. So I just wanted to say that.
Cool.
What do you think? Do you think he was murdered? Do you think he was the leaker?
Hold it. Wait. Lily, you were not dumb. Look at both you and Seth were passionate about politics.
About changing it and being the change.
Yes. So you shouldn't denigrate yourself from being the change. Anyway, sorry.
We just believed in the wrong people. That's what happened. We both
believed the lie,
you know, and Seth really, really believed in them, even in Hillary, you know, and actually that was it was like this weird point of contention where I lost the majority of my friends. And I can only imagine what Seth went through before they murdered him, but I lost the majority of my friends. Actually, I was a delegate for Bernie here. And I was at the state convention, and they did this weird thing where we wanted us to say that we would vote for Hillary if it came down to that, even though we were Bernie delegates. And, of course, my response was, absolutely not, like, I'd rather die, and I'm not voting for her. And I have never voted for that.
What year was that?
And then... That was in 2016.
Okay. Because.
And so I ended
Hillary
up getting kicked out.
Before. Wow. In 08,
they did.
I loved Hillary. I would have loved to have had her. She changed. So you can, it's not so much that the they change their persona, their message, their
Do you think they changed Elizabeth or hid it?
Like the mask came off of these people. It was like, oh, this is not who I thought you were.
There you go. That, yeah.
The 2008 Hillary I thought was brilliant. I was like, yes. And I always kind of liked her. And Bill, too, way back when he first came in. I liked them.
Back
they
in
broke
the day.
My heart.
Yeah.
But, you know, they became who they were, not who they put themselves out to be. So that's why I was wondering what you're talking about there.
That's how I felt about Bernie. Like, I was really Bernie, he broke my heart. I met him. I loved him. I drove to Philadelphia for that man. Never have I gone anywhere without my children, and that was something that I did. And then, of course, I got kicked out of being a delegate. Like, they kicked me out of the state convention and wouldn't even allow me to, like, use the bathroom because I'd driven, like,
really?
4 hours to go to this.
What did you do? They kicked you out.
I said I wouldn't. I said that I wouldn't vote for Hillary if it came down to her beating Bernie in the primary. And I ended up losing like all of my friends here. Like a really really good friend of mine, he was actually my novice in debate in high school, and then I became his campaign manager as adults, and that was always like kind of a funny thing. Like I literally like taught him how to debate, and then I was his campaign manager when he was running for state legislature, and you know, and it was kind of cool because we were both in our early 20s and very young and very inexperienced, but against the sitting incumbent, you know, like we won almost half of the votes, and so that was really cool. But he and I do not speak to each other any longer because he was a mutual friend that I had that was friends with Seth Rich and friends with me. And when I said the day that I found out Seth had been murdered, I just felt like they had done something to him because he was kind of like, he was smart about it, but he didn't hide the fact that he was like heartbroken with the party and very disappointed and very upset and unhappy. And anyway, like then, you know, the more information we got that it was some weird robbery, but they didn't take his money or his watch or, like, anything, but they just took his laptop, was weird. And then, you know, of course, like, more information came out, and then WikiLeaks, and Julian Assange never said that Seth was an informant for him, but made it pretty clear, you know, like, he
were you
very,
listening
very
when
upset
we played the video, Lily?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
And, you know, he just made it very clear without saying, you know, yes, this was my guy. He said it between the lines. And so, anyway, it was a huge point of contention here locally and a big division between people because there were a couple of us, including myself, that, you know, were convinced without a doubt that they murdered him. And then there were all of the people said that we were disrespecting his family and we were evil and how dare we say these things, and Hillary, he loved Hillary, even though that was no longer the case. And so anyway, you know, I do feel very sorry for his family. His parents were devastated when he died, and it was very heartbreaking to see that happen to them. But also, they, you know, people put words in their mouth and said that they didn't want an investigation and they didn't want this and they didn't want that, but they did. They wanted to know why their son was murdered and who murdered him, and they wanted that closure. But they got bullied by local Democrats to say that they didn't want those things and to just go along. And so I'm really grateful that it's, you know, still being talked about and people still know that he was murdered and nobody has forgotten.
Do you know the family personally?
I've met them and then I've like seen them places. I know who they are. You know, I'm not like friends with them. I always like, you know, when I occasionally do see them, I'm like very kind to them and whatever, you know, I'm sure that they probably have no idea who I am. And, you know, like, that's fine, but I just, like, know who they are. And I've met them once, and when I did, they were very nice people, you know, or like, nice is a bad word, but they were very kind, good people.
I wonder if they would do an interview for you since you're local. And that's such an interesting position, like perspective though, like, because like for me, it's not like the kind of equivalent, but you know, it seems like, you know, you knew Seth Rich's family a little bit more, but Ashley Babbitt's family lives in my neighborhood. But you know, I live in a much bigger place than you do. So to have the perspective of somebody who lives in the same city as the family, it must, especially when you get called names on the internet, like you're just disrespecting him. And it's like, no, this is a local matter. This is some, you know, this is my backyard. I'm not just some crazy conspiracy theorist. It's just that this is affecting us personally. So, wow. So you knew them. I would try, if you could, I would see if you could get an interview.
You know, like even like 6 months ago, if you'd asked me, I would have said, you know, like I don't think that they will, because they were so bullied by people here, especially. Mm-hmm. But now that everything is coming back to light again, and there's, you know, like information that people, the mainstream people didn't have or share or whatever last time, you know, like they actually may. And so I think like if I approached them very respectfully, maybe they would. Like, I'm not going to say that they would for sure because I don't know, but I would be willing to ask them.
That,
you know, like 6 months ago, I wouldn't have been willing to ask them, not in a rude way, but in out of respect for them, I wouldn't have asked them.
Yeah.
But now you know, things have changed enough that they might actually be willing.
All right, so take care of my chickens. If anybody else doesn't have any questions or concerns or comments, and thank you for digging me doing that story today, because that kid has been on my heart since it all happened, and you know, that's just one of those stories I'm never going to let go. And so if I get more information, you can bet it will be on the Good News Report, because I followed this story like a hound dog since day one, and I won't ever stop. I'm implacable when it comes to that.
Okay. He was one of the greats. He really was. Thank you, Carla, very much.
Yeah.
Okay,
Mom.
I
love you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
Take care of yourself, pretty.
So that's really interesting. And especially like, you know, with the Seth Rich interview and with Assange and the fact that WikiLeaks was out there, right? So they're basically, you know, do you remember when they were calling them Russian WikiLeaks?
Yeah.
It was there from the beginning to try to make it, you know, and honestly, let's just be real. If they're going to, you know, they've admitted now that they killed JFK, that CIA did. So if they're going to, you know, be able to kill a sitting president, one kid in the street is no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let him be just one kid in the street.
The Clinton body count, from Vince Foster to, you know, those kids that found the airstrip behind the Arkansas governor mansion where they had the guns running in from Nicaragua. Just evil. Pure evil. It's just, it makes the mafia look like they've got a code of ethics, the way that they run their operations.
Yeah.
Anybody get in the way of them, we just kill them and step on them to move our way up. Let me ask you real quick, was that Assange's last television appearance?
I don't think so.
I'm wondering the timeline.
I think he might have done Sean Hannity after this one. I'd have to check, though. And if I'm wrong, I'll correct.
He just went from, you know, and they go after, they do the character assassination first, because they went after him as he was some kind of child rapist when he was overseas.
Right, because they always accuse you of what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, and I know some people are like, you know, educate yourself, like the hardcore truthers that think Assange is also, you know, controlled opposition. I don't believe that.
I'm so done with these truthers. Done.
Well, exactly.
I'm surrounding myself
with
educated people. educated, stable individuals. That is my New Year's resolution, and I'm not polite anymore. If I think you're an idiot, I will tell you you're an idiot. I will tell you why, and then you are gone from my life. And off I go, skipping and singing a merry tune. Yeah, this, you know.
That reminds me of that meme where a cat's just prancing off with, like, a big, like, mushroom cloud in the background, a big, you know, boom. You've seen that meme, right?
Yeah,
that's you.
My work here is done. I'm off to something else.
Well, Lily, I'm so glad you're here. You know, can you tell us about yourself? What's going on with you?
Thank you. I'm so sorry that I have not been here. I'm not good at boundaries, and I've never really, like, learned them or worked with them. And so I started that healing business, though, and I had to, get really good at that because I was gone for a few weeks because I completely drained myself. I just was not balancing very well, you know, like my self-care with the care of other people and, you know, being able to tell people, like, no, I can't help you right now, you know, and things like that. And so I had to kind of, I guess, check out last week my favorite, most influential and important elder passed away. And so that was really difficult. Like, he's still there, and I still, like, already he talks to me, and it's fine, but it's different, you know. And that
can
was
you
really
ask
hard.
Him his vax status?
He's not vaccinated. He, but he died. He hasn't told me what's happened, but I kind of wonder if they did something because he was diabetic. And he had been in and out of the hospital for the last, like, 3 months. He had this wound that happened to his foot. And I'm sure you know, like, with diabetic people, they're really prone to foot issues, and wounds take a lot longer to heal and are more difficult. And so, anyway, he was really excited. I had talked to him, like, 3 or 4 days before he died, and he was really excited because he was going home. We were making jokes about this one nurse that was really irritating him. And he was, you know, he was like us. He was extremely aware of everything that was going on. He was in this spiritual war to win it, and he was not getting any vaccine or dealing with any of that bullshit. And so, anyway, he was supposed to be going home. He was excited because they had thought they might have to amputate his foot, and they were not going to have to do that. And then all of a sudden, the next thing I heard, he was in good spirits, you know, like, we talked, like, we stayed up all night that night talking and joking, and it was about 5 or 6 in the morning when we both were like, oh God, I have to go do something else or maybe sleep or I don't know. And then the next thing I knew, his wife had messaged me to let me know that he had died and they weren't sure why he had died. And he did die at home, which was a saving grace because he got to come home like about 12 hours before he passed away, but it was all like very weird. And she's not, like, communicating anymore, which, you know, like, I mean, I get it. She has a lot to deal with, and so it is what it is. But I'm just very confused, you know, like, about what happened. And he does not want to talk about it. So, you know, he's happy where he's at. He's let it go. He keeps, like, teasing me and joking with me because he has infinitely more power in the spirit realm than he did as a physical human. So he's excited about that, and he assures us that we will win the spiritual war. So that's
yay.
Cool. It was just, you know, like, it was very heartbreaking, and even though I know that death isn't real in the way that we think it is, it still feels real. You know, so I had to, like, take a few days to process all of that and figure out what to do with that, because I really wasn't sure, like, how do I, you know, continue, like, being on the front line of the spiritual war with everybody without him. Like, I never thought that that would be a thing. So anyway, that's why I was gone last week. And then the week before, I was just, like, trying to figure out boundaries with people because I was, like, had some clients that expect me to be, like, on call 24 hours a day. And if I don't message them back immediately, it's a whole thing. And then they don't pay me, though, either, because they'll just, like, want a reading or a healing, like, real quick, though, just a quick one. So I had to just like figure all that out, but I got the RV done. So that's cool, and that's just
that's
kind of
amazing.
What's been going
it's
on
so
here.
Pretty.
I guess.
Congratulations on the RV. It is so pretty.
Thank you. I'm so excited about it. I love it. The girls and I actually, even though we're still parked at our house because I have to buy a battery for it tomorrow, we have been like spending the night in it and hanging out in it and stuff because we really enjoy it. So that's exciting.
That's so fun. We are like, we're in the process of moving the chickens at the farm. So if you want to come and be a part of that project, you guys are more than welcome. We still have tomatoes, so it's a beautiful place to be. So,
Like getting to hang out with you would be a dream because we've been friends for such a long time. It feels like a whole lifetime to me, but it would be just like a dream to actually be able to hang out with you. So I know we have to go to Texas for a little bit. My friend is not doing well. He's like, was dying of mold poisoning, and he just hasn't been taking care of himself. Mold. There were 7 types of mold growing in the house that he was living in for 2 years.
Well,
and
if he gets out of there immediately, he'll start getting better.
Well, he's not in the mold house anymore, but his organs were shutting down. His blood is poisoned, and his dog died. His dog was like his person, you know, his everything. And his dog did not make it. And so, you know, he kind of has been, I don't know. He just wasn't trying very hard because he just was lost without his dog. And so anyway, he's going to come here. And we have been working with a really great friend of ours who's an herbalist who's given him all of the herbs he needs and an entire regimen to take and when to take it and how, and it's really great. And then he's going to come here, and I'm going to feed him a lot of food because he lost a ton of weight, and he's just, like, by himself, and he is at another mold house that he is fixing for somebody, but it's just he shouldn't be there right now. So anyway, he's going to come here, and then he's going to ride with me to Texas, and we are going to go see my herbalist friend, and I'm super excited. She's going to cure my asthma. And then after that, we could probably head there. So that would be really cool.
Yes. There's, you know, and we've got so many growing seasons, you know, because this is about as cold as it gets. And we still haven't seen a frost this year, I don't think. You know, I don't think we've had obviously in 2023 we haven't. And, you know, previous, we have such a little amount of frost that we can just basically, grow whatever we want, whenever we want. You need hotter, like, you need it hotter for, like, watermelon and things like that. But, like, so we would love your assessment on what we should do with it. We've got such a big backyard, and everything is at the top of the hill, and that's why we're moving the chicken coop away from the house, because it's inviting rats. And that's not good for the house, right? So we're moving it down to just the second level and, and just expanding down. We've got a lot of fruit trees. We've got some fruit trees that need to go. Like, we've got these two cherry trees that, like, I don't know. They've never produced well. We should take it out. We planted another peach tree that was supposed to be a nectarine, but it wasn't. It was the fuzziest nectarines I've ever seen, if they are. But so we wanted to take those out and get, I think, just probably more avocados is what I'm thinking. Like, we have eaten probably, I'm not even kidding, 20 avocados in the last couple of months because, first of all, it's like, it feels like a superfood. It feels like it provides some kind of nutrient that I've been lacking because, you know, I'm more awake and I'm more alert and there's, you know, no much difference than, you know, that I've done besides eating a whole lot of avocados. And this is, you know, in December, January, we just eat them like candy around here. And so since they're so productive and, you know, for 2 growing seasons, I think we should plant more. What do you think?
I think so because, my God, you know, if I didn't have to work out all this terrible karma that I had to come down here and fix and suffer in Chicago, I would come live there.
It's kind of paradise.
Nice. It is.
In some ways.
It just is. Yeah. I would grow as much as you can, because there's going to be a time when you're going to be like, you know, the place to be, because you're going to have food. And everybody's going to be like, oh, my God. And you're going to be the nightingale, the little angel in disguise for people that don't know what to do. When the McDonald's and the Taco Bell won't work, there's nobody there. How are we going to eat? Man,
right.
My friend, she loves, you know, my aunt even, they will have an avocado a day because it's just good. And nobody can afford that. I gave a friend of mine 3 mangoes, and it was like I'm still like Santa Claus, because a case of mangoes is $12, and you only get 7 mangoes. So it's getting outrageous.
Right.
It
exactly.
is outrageous, and I don't think that you require my assessment at all, because I think that you are the queen of all things that can grow and chickens, and I just admire you and think you're incredible. But I would love to, like, come and just be able to, like, hang out and grow food with you. And, you know, just, like, help with whatever you need. And I miss my chickens dearly. And so being able to hang out with chickens would be so great for my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, you're totally – yes, and you're welcome anytime. It really is cool to be able to do this with the backyard. But, you know, we've seen so many shortages over the last couple of years, like the baby formula shortage. And there was something before that that was chicken, right, was before that. Toilet paper, obviously, you know, but this egg one really, really hurts, because it's such a, you know, a big part of Americans' diets, right, that you know, when you look at – right now, like even at our local grocery store, like a case, and how many is in the case? 18, is it 18 or? It's 5 dozen. It's $24.
I haven't seen 18, an 18 pack in a long time. It's all 12 dozen, the little skinny ones. And it was $5.99. I think it went up to almost close to $7 now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty standard. And that's horrible, because it used to be $1.99. Just
right.
A couple of years.
Well, and your avocados, you can, I have started like trying to make as many of our own like homemade foods as I can, you know, and like just get really good at it before I move into the RV where I have like a lot less kitchen space. And so one thing I've been telling myself, like once a week, you know, like you just every week you have to learn something new to make. And so the first things were coffee creamer and then mayonnaise for their sandwiches and stuff. And you just use like one egg of avocado oil and then whatever spices and seasonings you want. And it's super easy and it's so good. And, you know, if you're going to grow all these avocados, I was going to say, like, you could also – juice them and make your own avocado oil. It's actually super easy. You'll find the video again and send it to you, but it's really easy.
Yeah.
Avocado oil for like basically everything.
Yeah, and we're going to need to know all of this stuff. Like you know, my husband jokes around and calls me a time traveler, because like I've been right about all of this stuff. It's like chickens, like who would have thought to get chickens in San Diego? Well, I kind of saw this coming, and honestly, like it really hurts. Like the pinch hurts in the raise in egg prices. But honestly, like I think that this should be an empowering moment again, just like the baby formula shortage. Like why can't that be an empowering thing where, you know, women help women like we did back in the dark ages, you know? Same thing with chickens, right? I honestly think that I don't really know of many places that you can't have chickens, right? Besides if you're in an apartment complex or something like that. But, you know, climate wise, like it's surprisingly easy to keep just a small flock of chickens. And I think that, you know, as people start getting squeezed more and more, more and more people are going to start turning to backyard chickens or local coops, right? So take over a vacant spot of land that's city owned and put down a chicken coop, make it secure.
This is the new war. because in Schaumburg, the little, his name Schaumburg, it's right outside Chicago, and it was the last farmland that turned into a metropolis out here. They just voted to get rid of the ducks and the chickens ordinance. And I was like, what? Because one guy died, and it changed the dynamics of the voting of this little five-person city council that is Lord and God of the town. They can't have chickens and ducks anymore because it's now, it's like L.A. They don't have any more, you know, they don't want, if you have grass, they want it to be perfect. There will be no ducks, no chickens anymore. And I just thought, and that was today on the news. I was like, oh, the war is on. They've already started. You know, they,
well, you,
they make everything.
Well, there's more reason for you to get some chickens.
Pardon me?
I think that's more reason for you to get chickens. Like now that you've, you know, even the strongholds,
well,
can you have chickens in your, where you live?
For the moment, but Schaumburg's right down the street from me. This is the new, I can't put a couch out on the street when I got new furniture without getting a fucking eviction notice ticket on my door the next day before Christmas. And I'm like, it's only going to be here for a couple days till the next garbage day, you know? Oh, my God, it was the end of the world for the whole fucking neighborhood. No, it's getting where people are so clean. My mom used to say, you know, people's teeth, it's not natural to have white teeth like they have. Everything is antiseptic. Nothing can be natural. And you can't have a little bit of country in your neighborhood. So right now we can, but there's those assholes that they got the loudest voices at these meetings, and they know somebody. Like one of our city ordinances is the dog bark, barking dogs. If you have an asshole neighbor and your dog's barking, the cops can come and give you a $750 ticket. That was passed in our city council because some asshole doesn't like the neighbor's dog and had a little power. So we've got the chickens, but you can't have the roosters. But you've got seven or eight guys that hate this, and they're working. They're like, this is not Green Acres. They don't like these people that have chickens in their yards. And there's quite a few that do. But they don't want those kind of people living in our town. So you've got this never-ending, this is what you're going up against. As long as they've decided it's legal, but you've got those people who are like, we don't like this. And they'll, you know, as soon as they get that extra vote, boom, you can't do it anymore. And then, like I told you, just fuck it, do it anyways. No, you've got the chicken Nazis that come, right? You've got these people that will enforce. Who the fuck comes and gives a fucking ticket for a couch being on the street? They've got garbage cans everywhere because the garbage guy didn't come to work today, you know? And it's like, my couch is not the only eyesore of the whole town. You should see what's going on. Nope, that was important. And I'm like, tomorrow's the holiday. What are you even doing out doing your job? Why aren't you in your car drinking coffee someplace? Nope, that's what they need to do. But that's the environment. That's the big, you know, it's like you want to go sell everything and get into an RV, but then it's like, you know, you got to put up with the whatever regulations. Are they going to start being, oh, we don't want these RVs in our town. We don't want them parked in the parking lots and this and that. And, you know, we don't want these parks anymore. They're going to make it almost impossible. It's like you have to, I don't know, be like, fuck you, come and get my chickens. That's the hill we're going to have to die on. No, we've had our chickens. You have to grandfather us in. You can't just say we can't have them anymore. Take it to the Supreme Court. You know, if corporations can have rights like humans, then so can livestock. You know, let's take that. Mm-hmm. That would be the hill that we should all die on, I think.
Well, I think if we were going to rate the survivalness per city, I think that you would have zero survival in your city. Like, if something big happens, like, it doesn't sound like you guys are prepared to fight back at all in any kind of way, like withdraw consent at all from, you know, from the powers that be. Like, if you choose to cut off from that system that you know is flawed, it seems like the only way that you'll be able to survive is to leave, right? Like, it's so flawed.
Yeah,
that
pretty much just because of the people. Like, I got the asshole crazy man who's going to, you know, shovel his driveway in the middle of the night because he can't sleep with snow on it. And the same way with, you know, if anything grows, he needs to cut it down, even if it's not his yard. But my yard, I got a plethora of the weeds. Whoever lived here 100 years ago planted so many cool things that this crazy man has cut down. But we have elderberries over here. Every weed that will you can live off of that, or it's in that book of the Lost Ways. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. But here comes the landlord and then the nut job next door, and they just mow it all down and cut it down. And it's like I couldn't plant anything just because I'm surrounded by idiots. Idiots that want everything cropped and not growing. Anything green needs to be gone.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like you need to find your tribe, or you need to have your boundaries. I mean, if I owned, I'd be like, you know, I'd put a fence up, and it'd be like, think twice before you step one more foot over here if you're not allowed here. But it would be a little different, perhaps. Do know that there are quite a few people that once it affects them and it's important to them, once they start pushing, they're loud and they're not going to do anything. That's why I'm loving the immigrants that are here, because they're like, no. You know, there was a story, we were talking a story where they're like, oh, it's dangerous. Oh, this is one of the clips you played. And I'm like, no, they're just, that's their culture. Who does, they smoke, they drink, they're loud, they're having fun. Where they came from, they had to lock themselves in their houses at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because there are the cartels are killing people. It's dangerous to be outside. This is like paradise to them, and they're having fun. They're not a threat to our society. We need to lighten up a little bit. We can, you know, give a little more leeway to other cultures that are loud too and have fun. But
Lily is back.
Oh yay! Good. Goodness.
So sorry, I was throwing dinner in and my phone died.
Oh, no worries. I'm glad you came back. We're just kind of like, going in circles on a topic.
You know, Elizabeth, my mom lives in Nebraska in this really tiny town. It's a farming community. Like, literally, the guy that lives behind her is grandfathered in to have horses, and so horses live behind her, and then she is so on the edge of town that right next to her are big bluffs full of cows, and that city council will not allow her to have chickens. And for the last 4 years, she has petitioned every year for them to allow chickens. And the entire, not all of the people, but like the vast majority of the people living there have signed her petitions that yes, they would also like to have chickens or would be fine with other people having chickens. And she even this year went so far as to go to the next town over that had allowed chickens and meet with them and look at their policies and stuff and how they did it to present that to the city council. And her next door neighbor is like he's kind of like in charge of the city council. And he was so furious with her that he began like calling in any little code violation he can think of the time now. And she is not allowed to have chickens, even with horses and cows right next to her and behind her. It's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
That's really sad.
I know. And, you know, they are everywhere. There are assholes everywhere. You cannot move somewhere and there's not going to be an asshole. Doesn't matter where.
The only saving grace is that they'll all be purified by the Blue Star Kachina very soon. And I am sorry, but I am excited about it.
No, you're absolutely right. And then, you know, the 1970s sitcom that I live by is Maude, and she's like, God will get you. And you know, I'm just going to sit back and watch your karma. Because if you're that fucking, I just can't wait. You know, a lot of times they'll be riddled in cancer pretty soon because their evilness inside of them just adds to disease.
Well, that and probably
you know,
the vac.
Yeah, exactly. That prompts everything. But before the vaccine, that would happen. I'm like, well, it's a shame when I'd hear these things that would happen to people. And so I was like, you know, karma really is terrible, and I should never laugh. But I try not to get upset because I know that all the energy that you put forth in being an asshole, that's coming, it's just going to not do well for you. I will survive this, you perhaps will not. And that's how you kind of like adjust to, it's not life and death that I have chickens right now, but apparently it's life and death if I don't for you. So, you know, I'm going to grace you with my gift. You know, enjoy your day. And I think I'll live longer than you will, I think, on that. But then,
right.
Honestly, God, it's kind of like, you cannot hide. You cannot hide from tyranny, nor can you hide from assholes, because it's just, it's there. You need to learn to live with and win and have the better day and perhaps score more points with the universe by being a bigger person than they are. I think maybe that might be the new way to play it, because is it going to kill me? If I have my daily bread, if I'm taken care of and I get what I need for the day, I'm good. I don't need to have this empire, this huge farm that, you know, might not be here because you can have a mudslide, boom. Now, you know, we could all get a group of people to come and get everything going and looking nice, but then, wow, mudslide takes away the farm that you've had forever. And it's like, oh, my God, now what are we going to do? You move on to something else, but it's kind of like you don't, you know, it's not the where I've placed all my hopes and dreams. And I'm just going to be happy that I have this good day and everything that I need. Because things can, I mean, everything can be taken away in a blink of an eye. And whatever this asshole's obsessing over, a fucking chicken or how tall the grass is or how much snow is here and there or where the leaves go, it's gonna, you're going to have a heart attack, not me. You know, you're wasting your entire life obsessing over stupid shit other people are doing instead of having your own life. That's probably your own little hell there on this.
Well, that's probably why is that people who are the most damaged focus their energy on other people because they can't really look at themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It is something else on that.
So Lily, actually for both of you, what did you think of my idea? Like I've seen the chicken ladies on, and like even the rented chickens on Tucker. But what, like selling, what do you guys think about selling flocks that lay Easter egg colored eggs?
How did you get that? Because usually the robin's eggs, those are quail eggs. Those are different birds that lay different color eggs. The ducks,
nope. Those are all chicken eggs.
Easter eggers lay colorful eggs too, though.
Yes, and then you have to know which breeds. Like the Copper Morans lay like a chocolate-colored egg.
Gotcha. Okay, so you've got – okay.
There's one that lays a gold egg.
Danielle, have you seen the I Am Samani chicken?
No. Let me see. What is it?
They're
I am
black. They're pure black. It's AYAM space CEMANI. Even their tongues are black.
No.
Like every single part of them is black, and then their feathers are so black that they almost have like this like greenish kind of like sheen to them. And their eggs are pure black on the outside. They are super gorgeous. I have, like, someday I'm going to have one of those chickens.
Yeah, I do know that one. I've only seen the rooster, but yeah, they are. And they lay black eggs?
Yeah, the shells are black.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, there's some that lay green and blue. Yeah, so there's all different colors. And, I mean, obviously, like, I think that, you know, you could sell chickens that were, I guess hens. You can make sure that they're hens that didn't lay different, you know, Easter egg colors. But it's nice. It's fun to, like, have that option, right, to get a flock, prepackaged flock that lay these color eggs that you want.
I think people would love that. I think it's a phenomenal idea.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even like the silky chickens too that look like little Muppets, like those are some of my favorites, not because of their eggs, but just because they look like little Muppets running around, and I think that they're adorable. And you can have different package ideas, you know, like for people that are just doing a beginner's flock and they want really like extra easy chickens that are really hardy, you know, like you could sell them like a Rhode Island Red and Barred Rock. Because those things, like, I think you have to actually try to kill those ones. And then, you know, for people that want, like, really beautiful eggs, like, you could just, like, package it differently for different people.
Super
and
layers,
I think it would be a phenomenal idea.
You could do like super layers, like the Buffies that lay, or the Longhorn, I think. They do, like, they lay 2 to 3 eggs a day. They're like super layers. So you can be like, yeah, these aren't the prettiest, but they are the most efficient, you know.
Exactly. And you could just package it differently, you know, like for different people's needs or wants, you know, like this is like, these are like really good starter chickens that will live forever. You know, like these ones have really beautiful, vibrant eggs. These ones will lay a million eggs, you know, and like,
yeah,
you could
exactly
just package the things like differently for different people.
You can sell chickens or you can sell eggs?
Well, we sell eggs, but we have been getting into the breeding of these Easter egger breeds, right? And so we're starting a project right now where we're incubating a whole bunch of eggs starting, I think, next week. So
I like it. I think that's a gourmet foo-foo item that a lot of people will like. Because, you know, you've seen the posts. It's like, we're going to have to start coloring potatoes. We're not going to be able to eggs. And it's like, oh, no, I've got them already here. And
yeah,
I think
exactly.
It's going to, people like that. Those who could afford it, yeah. I think it's great.
And it's still very legal here. There's no areas that I'm aware of in San Diego where you can't at least have 6 chickens. So roosters are no-nos, but, you know, most places around here can do at least 6 chickens. And, you know, for a family, it's just really neat that if you've got any size of a backyard, you can just put a small flock, get a couple eggs a day, right? Just enough to feed your family. And, you know, and that way, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's a great way of living. And, you know, if there's one thing that we can learn from all of this, the state of the world for the last few years is that they can change it anytime they want, and they can turn off the supply chains anytime that they want.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. How great would it be if we could just rely on ourselves instead of the government for these basic needs?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is we can without even going off grid. I saw this really great hydroponic plant stand where it's got this woman, she's got all her romaine lettuce and everything. I was like, I am buying one of those. That's going to go great by my staircase, by my western, I think it's the western exposure. I have drapes mm-hmm. everywhere because it gets so nice and hot in the exposure. I'm like, oh, it'd be great. Great to grow plants. Then it got to be 115 degrees, and I'm like, I need to put blankets up here. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm taking them back down, and this is going to be the plant room where you grow the beets, the lettuce, all these things that are now $8 and $10, and you, if you can get them. I don't know why we can't have produce. Apparently we were very bad and can't have nice things, but you can do that. And I'm like, look, let's just operate off of the Amazon. Amazon, bring me this. And now I don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, yeah.
And before you know it, you know, you're like, I've got all the produce I need because it's a continual crop because it's basically weeds, you know, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for you. And, you know, I've stockpiled up to the end of the world with rice and beans from the last several end of the worlds we've been having. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then again, you know, you've got these people that have wonderful podcasts, but they're always, I think they're being sponsored by Patriot Supply, where it's like you buy the 25-year, you know, bucket full of food, freeze-dried food. It's like, you know, no, I'll take my chances on how I'm going to do it instead of buying some yucky food that is probably not going to taste very good after I pay this, you know, this freeze-dried astronaut food. But, you know, there's ways to get around it, but everybody seems to have the same thing on their mind is bad things might happen and we need to be prepared for them. And it's kind of like back in the day, that was how people lived. You had to take care of yourself. You were inventive. You're inventive and you I was watching this thing on This guy was interviewing a hillbilly from the Appalachian Mountains, and he was a moonshiner. And it was basically, you know, living off the land. And it's like, that's how everybody lived back in the day. There was different levels of wealth. But basically, everyone had a little plot of land. They built whatever kind of house they could, had the garden. They grabbed a few livestock, and then they just lived. And we need to get back to having whatever little tools of survival. You know, like the simple knowledge of you can live without toilet paper. They have hand towels, those little bitty towels. What were they for? That's how they wiped their butts back in the day. We didn't have toilet paper 80 years ago, I don't think. I know that when I was a kid, we didn't have Pampers. There was cloth diapers. There was no such thing as Pampers. People washed pieces of cloth that had baby poop on and used them over again with little pins. There was all these modern things we have, and they're like, oh, my God. Yes, that's, people lived a whole different way because we didn't have these things, and it was doable. And it was, and it's like, those are simple things. I know people scrunch their nose and I'm like, woo, but no, your life will not be over if you don't have toilet paper.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately, it's going to be much more than toilet paper that that people are going to have to start to live without. I mean, we've like I said, we've been seeing it firsthand, like the baby formula shortage. Like, come on, like what happened before? Mm-hmm. We didn't always have baby formula. Like, how come why is it that, that unfortunately people are going to die if they don't have access to these basic things? They've become so reliant on this system that unfortunately some people won't make it, and it's really sad. But for the rest of us, I hope this is an empowering thing, that we can get back to our roots and actually still survive.
Well, I do believe the scripture that the meek will inherit the earth, meek being teachable. Those who are interested in, oh, wait, that sounds, and here's a little bit of knowledge, simple knowledge. If you put a pot of water on your stove and have it steam going, you breathe that in, that can help you to breathe when you're sick. That's what they do, these breathing treatments in the ER. That's exactly what they do. You never have to go do that. If you need, these are simple things that, like, you know, your grandma should have told. These are things that should have naturally been passed down. At some point, the knowledge stopped, and it's like, why? What happened here? What was the disconnect? But I know it. My grandma, I have all these conversations that I was around in the kitchen with the Swedish aunts and the grandma, and I have that knowledge. I don't know why I didn't get it from my mom, but I got it from my grandma. But apparently a whole generation didn't have grandmas for some reason. I don't know.
Exactly. They separate the young and the old for a reason. Lily, do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts, actually, because, you know, I know that I've mentioned this before, so I don't mean to, like, repeat myself and be annoying, but I did work in nursing homes and do home health care for 12 and a half.
Lost you. We lost you. Did we lose everybody? Or just me?
No, I'm here, Lily. We've lost you.
Well, until she goes back, you know, the home remedies. Everybody used to have a home remedy that their grandma used to do. And like in the Italians, it was like, oh, my God, it was the garlic. You know, the garlic hanging around the neck was a big jokey thing. But paste, mustard paste on the chest. It was all these stinky things. Cut the onion up, put it in your socks. It was like, oh, my God, and on your chest.
Yeah, put it in the corner of your room.
Yes, exactly. Next to your bed on your nightstand. These things work. And it was kind of like, oh, God, who wants to do it? But it worked. There was a comedian. He's a Filipino comedian. He's like, you never went to the hospital because you had to. The onion is kind of like, you're going to die. No, you have this. Put this. this onion and but this shit does it. Oh, Vicks, I know what it was. It was Vicks. Vicks on everything. Vicks on your eyeballs, on your ears. You go to sleep, you'll be fine. But yes, those things really do work. And I know they don't have those commercials. We're inundated with pharmaceutical commercials. Not even car commercials, right? It's pharmaceutical. But you don't get the Alka-Seltzer. When I was a kid, Alka-Seltzer, Coca-Cola, 7-Up. 7-Up was a big thing for my grandma. That was my grandma's home remedy for the flu. 7-Up.
Was 7-Up.
Open a can of 7-Up.
Ginger ale. Lily's back. So you kind of cut out when you were saying you worked at a nursing home for 12 years.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. The call just dropped because I'm like sitting with it on the charger, so I know that it did not die, but it just threw me out. So, but anyway, you know, for 12 and a half years, I worked in nursing homes and did home health care, and I think one of the things in our society that we really, really went wrong with participating in and allowing was this idea that when somebody becomes elderly, you just ship them away and you don't visit them and you don't talk with them. And you know, nobody seems to think anyway that they have anything to offer to anyone, you know, and you just kind of like leave them there. And these elderly people know that they're being left there to just be there until they die. And they talk about it frequently and they die of, you know, like depression and being lonely and feeling isolated even before COVID. You know, of course, COVID like highlighted for us that we were doing that in a really awful way. But we've been doing it, you know, for decades before that. And even yesterday, I was watching an animated movie with my children, and this character in the movie said, you know, like, well, you're getting old, I'll have to put you out to pasture. And just the way that we view people, you know, we view everyone as being disposable, in the same way that we view all material objects as being disposable. And, you know, unfortunately, when elderly people pass on an entire library passes on with them. It is like burning down the Alexander Library every single time. And, I mean, I've learned so many wonderful lessons and gotten to hear, you know, really incredible stories from these people, like, just caring for them over the years. But, you know, like, those are stories that become lost, because when you don't have your elders anymore, then who are you going to ask, you know? And it becomes a situation when we don't have, you know, internet search browsers, how are we going to know, you know, like, what our ancestors and our elders did to survive when they didn't have all of the convenience that we have now? So I think that, you know, it's really important that we look at how we're viewing the elders in our own communities, our own lives, just, you know, in general as well, and really, you know, kind of remedy that situation, because it's not fair to them at all to be just thrown away into these, and I don't care how great the nursing home is, they're all awful, because, you know, you have way too many people, not enough staff. You have, you know, we used to call it snowing them, where the doctors just put them on a million different medications, and they're basically then they just kind of sit there and drool on themselves because of the medication, not because, you know, there's anything wrong with other than being on way too many medications. And, you know, they're just left there, and they give up because there's not a reason for them to want to continue in this realm anymore. You know, and I think that we could remedy that. Like, I really have seen a few countries, like in Finland, they've got some daycare centers now that are in nursing homes. And so during the day, the elderly people care for the younger ones and they bond. And, you know, like, it's just this really beautiful program that I hope that we do more when we start doing more like community homeschool and things. But, you know, when we were talking about elders, Elizabeth and your grandmother and stuff, I didn't mean to go off tangent, but it just reminded of that, you know, and that I really think we need to fix that situation, because they hold all of the keys. They know exactly how to survive a Great Depression, shortages, anything we can imagine going through. They've been through it, or they know someone who was, and they know exactly how to survive it, you know, and I just believe that they hold the key. And we all talk about unity, and you know, those truthers always talk about unity, even though they're pretty divisive sometimes. But But whatever, it's always like, we need to unite. Well, we need to unite all of our generations as well. There's a reason that they get us to, like, slander each other's generations, right? Like, Gen Z is insane and doesn't know what species they are. Boomers are okay, boomer. Like, we don't need to listen to you because you have no idea and you're not relevant anymore. Millennials are also crazy. Like, you know, there's all of these, like, labels and stereotypes and whatever that we give to our generations. But we really need to unite among our generations, because each one of us holds a different key, a different puzzle piece, and we have different strengths, you know, that, like, other generations need.
Although I do have to say that as a millennial, I can attest to the avocado toast being true.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those stereotypes happen, you know, because they have some truth to them. Like, you know, they definitely do. I just think that there's a clear, like, intentional division between our generations that,
for sure,
you know, they've done on purpose.
Well, here.
Yes.
I describe them as lazy, whiny, and stupid. It's in a nutshell. And you can pick which is which. But the fact that they think they're any different than any other generation, it's fascinating. It really is. Because the difference is clothes, and then I do believe social decorum and lack thereof, and respect, and then awareness. You know, the closer you get to the present, the less interaction and awareness of themselves and environments and consequences, and that anybody else is there besides now them and their phone. But back then it was like, the world, this is what was said, the world does not revolve around you, you know that. And they were like, who are you? Where'd you come from? Yes, it does.
Well, they don't know that, and that's kind of the sad part, is that
they don't know.
The more entitled that these children are, you know, the harder it's going to be when society collapses, right? You know, and so honestly, like, even though they do have these qualities because of the society that we've built for them, they are in this entitled state of mind, which means that they're going to be the least prepared out of any of us when society, you know, collapses the way that we think it's going to. So,
well, you know what, I wonder, I don't think society is going to collapse per se. Our way of life is going to change drastically. But society, they've got it all kind of scoped out the way they want it. And these little unaware children are going to fit right in because they're not going to question anything. It's the older people who are appalled at what's going on are the ones that are standing up and screaming, and we're all upset that nobody else is giving a shit. But I don't think this is that, yeah, everything is so well entrenched. They don't want the old ways to come back. Everything's kind of set. Everybody's going to have a car, whether you want one or not. It's going to be the kind of car they want. And you're going to walk this way, or you're not going to be part of their energy grid. It's almost like they utilize our energy for some benefit of some sort.
I don't
think that it's not going to be the society that you want or I want. But, and I don't think that's going to happen either, though. Not without great growing pains and agony and wailing and gnashing of the teeth. I don't think so. Just like that new thing that happened, you were like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. The woman from New Zealand stepped down. And Hitler stepped up to bat for her because they're aggressively going to go to their houses to make sure these people are vaccinated, whether they want to or not. And it was like, oh my
yeah,
God.
That was her, though.
And it's like,
she put in
no,
those policies.
He just, oh, well, but he's going to enforce them. So it didn't matter that she stepped down because it's been twisted up to overdrive tyranny over there. And everybody thought that they get a break. No, they don't get a break. This is a never-ending story of control. Like, you know, the New World Order, and then, you know, you can't make us do what we don't want to do. We're going to be like the toddler they can't control, the terrible twos. this never-ending fight between the two. I don't know. Do you really think society's going to fall, Lily and Danielle?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I do. Yeah, me too. And if I can, if it's okay if I say something,
of course.
You know, I know that I, like, am probably ad nauseum talk about prophecies, but, you know, according to all prophecies, it doesn't matter if you ask the Hopi, the Lakota, if you look into the Bible, the Quran, you know, the Maori, who you ask, every single prophecy says that their society will collapse. It is not sustainable. Their money will stop existing. Their economy will no longer exist. And any systems that they've put in place will not exist. And so, yeah, you know, for the people that are not prepared, and especially the people that have no, like, strong spirit connection, those people are going to suffer and have a really hard time because they're playing out lessons that they have not learned. You know, like, while we were doing our own inner work and remembering who we truly are, and staying connected and doing all these things, you know, like, they were not doing any of that. And so, unfortunately, when they decide to do it, you know, and they're kind of forced to, it's going to be much harder. And so,
yes,
you know, we provide safety nets for them, and that's fine. But at some point, we won't be able to, right? Because this realm, planet, world, whatever you want to call it, is splitting into two. And we can see the divide, I think, all the time. Like, you can stand next to somebody and realize that you don't exist in the same realm, even though physically you're standing right next to each other.
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
else
yeah.
about you is existing in the same space. And that is going to become stronger and stronger, you know. And so eventually, at some point, pretty soon, like, not that far off, the people that are playing out their lessons in the third earth are no longer even going to be able to see the people in the fifth earth. We will see them. We'll be right there bearing witness. We won't be impacted by anything that they do, but we'll be, you know, like, bearing witness and knowing what's happening, but they will not be able to see us unless we choose to interact with them, because it will mean that we have to shift our own energetic body down a level to meet them, you know, into a space where we can actually see them. It's the same way, like, the spirit realm now, right? Like, it is so close to us, we could reach out and touch it, but we don't because we are not at a high enough level to be able to see it. And that is what all prophecies say is happening with this great divide or this split or whatever you would like to call it. And so it will collapse, you know, and in the third earth, it will be destroyed eventually, you know, like, the blue sun will purify it out. However, before that, you know, they might have to go through, like, all of the forced vaccines and imprisonment and weird stuff. But none of that happens to us because we are shifting steadily along with the fifth. And the fifth earth is based purely on balance and harmony and sovereignty and natural law. And so nobody forces anybody to do anything there. And it's, like, it's super beautiful. But that's where we're at, you know, and we're just, like, entrenching ourselves further into that fifth earth while other people choose to entrench themselves further into a third. And, you know, like, for whatever reason, they're choosing that. Like, it's really sad for them, and I don't quite, like, I can't fit it into my brain to fathom why they would choose that, but whatever. It doesn't matter to me because it's not really my business, right? Like, it's their own lesson that they're playing out. But as that happens, the system does collapse for us, you know. I don't know exactly what that looks like for the third earth. You know, I'm certain for the third earth it looks like, you know, digital currency and forced vaccines and microchips and weird stuff, because you know what, they've told us what they want to do with the third earth. The third earth is what the 13 bloodlines inherit and what they get to control. They don't get to come to the fifth earth. And so, and that's why with CERN, they specifically said they were seeking out the fifth element and the fifth dimension, because they're trying to get to the fifth earth and not be destroyed with the third, but they're not allowed to go, and, like, nothing they do will cause that to happen. But further, they are creating an internet of bodies. So we, a lot of us have thought, including myself, that they were going to use the 5G to kind of, like, hive mind the vaccinated and control them, like, through their minds and whatever. And some of that is true, but actually what they're doing is they need their bodies, which are all emitting the same frequency now, 2.44 hertz, which is a very low, very dense frequency. And that is the frequency that they're emitting. And they are now signals because their bodies are what will power and create 6G. And it's already what's happened in China and what they would like to do with the rest of the world. And so, you know, they do mine our energy and they do use us as batteries. But in the third earth, it is going to be like they're actually entirely a battery, right? Like they don't have their own thoughts. They are not in charge of their own actions. Like they are just strictly used to power the, you know, like their 6G for their AI. But we don't have to exist within any of that because our DNA is consistently activating. There's really fascinating stuff you can read about the Mandela effect with our physical bodies. Like our bodies have actually changed and shifted. Organs have moved around. I remember very specifically like doing my CNA licensing when you're learning like first aid care and stuff like that. You learn how to take somebody, like read their pulse. And there is a vein, you know, was always like right in the middle, you know, like in the middle of your wrist. It has now shifted under your wrist bone to the side.
What?
Our hearts have shifted. They're no longer all the way to the left side like they were. They are now moved over closer to the center where our rib cage is much stronger and our ribs are much closer together and it is more protected. Our kidneys have moved up in our body. I'm sure you guys remember, like, because I didn't even play sports, and I remember you had to be really careful kicking somebody in the back because you could kick their kidney in their lower back, and, you know, they would urinate blood, and it was a really dangerous thing. The kidneys have now shifted up higher into our back where they're more protected, and you can't just kick someone in the kidney anymore. Like, it's really, really incredible stuff. So if all of that is happening to our physical bodies, you know, like we could just imagine what's happening to our strands of DNA because we have 12 of them, not two. So anyway, I'm sorry to like be weird and go on, but it's just super exciting stuff in my opinion. And it proves prophecy, so I love it.
No, that's pretty cool. That kind of coincides with that message that the Fulong, the leader of the Fulong Gong, put out today that I heard about. And they talked about the third, first, second, and third earth. Not the earth, but levels to go to heaven. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. Everything kind of coincides with ancient scripture and prophecy. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing very low vibrational people because they are an empty vessel. And an empty vessel is just beckoning for evil little demons to enter and take over. And I think we see a lot of that because things that people are doing that's on the level of demonic and heinous. And yeah, standing next to somebody, you're like, what is and where did you come from? Because they are not, you know, they don't have that spark that... You smile. You used to have a smile, and you get a smile back, and you start, you know, you get that spark. No, it's very rare you see that. So, yeah, people are changing on that. But along, you know, the scriptures in the Bible, we are saved right before the destruction. We are saved. So that's why I'm still sticking with my upbringing was Christian. And I still stick to the old scriptures and the basics. That's why I say I don't think it will happen. And I'm all about intention, too. But you don't sound crazy, honey, at all. For people who read, you know.
Right. And that's why it's not so hard for us to be optimistic in, and at least we're going to be safe, right? Like, you know, as long as we just focus on ourselves and making sure that, you know, that we're okay and that our families are okay and that, you know, that's the order it has to be in is that, you know, we have to make sure that we have the resources that we need to survive and our families do. And then after that, we start working on our community. But, you know, every major prophecy, like Lily said, religion all basically says the same thing. And we're seeing it live out every day. So we all know that, and all the stories end the same way. We win.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and it's all, like, so beautiful. And so even though I know people are apprehensive because, you know, the collapse of society sounds scary, and obviously to birth something new, there has to be a lot of destruction. But it's just the destruction that's been happening for centuries. It's been building up to this point. And so it's actually not scary because we're always divinely guided and divinely protected. As long as we just maintain our spark and maintain our connection, that's really all we have to do, you know? And, like, the funny thing is, in the very beginning of awakening, when we start to get more conscious and aware and start to remember who we are, all of us, every single person, like, wants to save the world, right? And it becomes this, like, really empowering, exciting goal, like, we're going to save the world. And then the more aware and connected and conscious we become, we realize that, the only way to save the world is to save ourselves, right? And to, like, change ourselves and be the very best us that we can be and have the strongest soul that we can have, because that is literally how we save this world, you know? Like, they want to create their internet of bodies, and that's fine, but in our world, it is all powered by souls. You know, and so the more strong souls we have on our side, the more it accelerates and the faster everything goes and the more beautiful it becomes.
Nice. Like it.
Elizabeth, maybe not so sold.
Oh, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm reading the back. I just got my Greatest Classic Films collection of Astaire and Rogers. All the classic movies from way back when.
Oh, nice.
But you know what? Yes, it is. Because, you know, those were the best. Those are before Hollywood took out real life. Like, you even had, there's a gay best friend in all of these movies. And I was looking for his, he was like the best character actor of the time. But it was well known that his, you know, he was gay and in Top Hat. But nonetheless, good movies. You know what? It is all roads lead to the same place. Whatever your beliefs are, as long as you keep your faith, you know, everybody has, there are different stories and different traditions.
We just hit our 90-second mark, so.
Yeah, but as long as you become somebody that I think God can bless your efforts, he's going to use you to help other people. So make sure that you are doing the right thing. That's my goodbye to
everybody.
All things
work for the good who love God and are called according to his purpose.
I think so. That's my belief.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for being here. Another successful show. Please share this video if you can. And we love you all, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, love you.
Have a good week. Love you too, babe.
Yeah,
take care.
Exactly.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week, guys. Okay, bye-bye.